Hey, Pardon My Take listeners. You can find every episode on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or YouTube. Prime members can listen ad-free on Amazon Music. On today's Pardon My Take, we have TCU head coach Sonny Dykes, the undefeated TCU Horned Frogs. Great talk with him. Ton of connections with him. And we talked about his old days with under Mike Leach, hanging out with Dana Holgorsen, creating fake plays for the other team, talking offensive football. We're going to do NFL picks and preview. We have to record early because we're going to Chicago for an ad up front. So we're going to give some choose your own adventure on the big Houston versus Philly night. And then we will finish with Firefest and wrap up and send everyone into a football weekend. Hey guys, it's Big Cat and Fight Week is here. Rough and Rowdy 24 invades Clarksburg, West Virginia this Friday night, April 19th at 8 p.m. Eastern for the first time since Rough and Rowdy won. Every single fight will be a brand new brawler, and we found the wildest hillbillies the holler has to offer. Order now to enjoy 20 amateur matchups with no headgear, plus our live ring girl contest after the final bell. These country roads are being paved with blood and grit and balls. Join me and Dave on the call for Rough and Rowdy 24 tonight at 8 p.m. Eastern. Witness all the chaos with pay-per-view replay available all weekend long on buyrnr.com. That's buyrnr.com. Okay, let's go.
Pardon My Take, presented by Barstool Sports.
Welcome to Pardon My Take, presented by Visible. Go to Visible.com. You get up to $250 gift card, and you can get wireless for as little as $30 a month, taxes and fees included. Today is Friday, November 4th, and the Philadelphia Phillies have gotten a hit.
We hope.
We don't know
that.
We hope. Okay, so let's just set the stage. We are recording early. Every now and then we have to do this. We're recording early. We have to fly to Chicago for the ad up fronts. I'm heading to Keeneland after. Hank, I think, is going to Boston. PFT's going around Chicago. So we're recording early. It's the one of the only times that we're recording early. So we figured it's not a clinching game. We're going to record late if it was a clinching game. But we're recording early, so we're choosing our own adventure. I am going to choose to say the Phillies finally got a hit.
Yeah, it's a clinching game if you're talking about Phillies fans' buttholes right now, because they got nice. They got owned last night. It was a second no-hitter in the history of the World Series.
They got face-fucked.
Was it a face-fucking or was it a skull-fucking?
They got shoved.
I think it's the eye hole. I think you got it in your eye hole last night. But
Mess with Mattress Mac.
But the good thing about Philadelphia is if they get skull fucked, like, they're going to come out and most likely do the skull fucking the next. They'll skull fuck you back.
Max looks like he's about to cry.
Max,
like, legitimately looks like he's about to cry.
No, that's just the cum coming out of his eye from the skull fucking.
Dude, I'm rooting for Philly, but that was bad, Max. That was bad. And again,
bad for them the night before.
Okay, so let's.
So it happened.
So it does. Yeah, right.
Big Cat, to answer your question, I do think that the Phillies come out and they win tonight. I think they mash again.
All right, so here. Let's go a round of predictions, and you can add a little editorial to what you think happens in the game. Who's pitching tonight?
Syndergaard's going to shove.
Oh, Verlander. Verlander never
stinks
wins.
In the World Series.
Stinks.
Wait, Syndergaard, the guy who used to be on the Mets?
Yeah, he was good for the Mets.
Thor.
Yeah.
Right?
He was good for the Mets.
The daddy of caller daddy.
Good again.
Okay, yeah, he is. He's the daddy. He's the original daddy. I'm going to say Phillies 5, Astros 0. They get no hit.
Oh, damn.
Yeah, I reversed it. I reversed the no-hitter on their ass.
I think it's going to be a one-hitter, Big Cat. Okay. I think it's going to be a one-hitter, and I think that it's going to be...
We hit you, you hit the floor, though. That's a two-hitter.
That's two-hitter. Yeah. No, it's a four-hitter. You hit them, they hit 9, they hit one again.
Yeah. Call the ambulance Mattress Mac.
I think it's going to be Phillies 7. I think it's going to be a bit of a shootout. Phillies 7, Astros.
As baseball games are called.
Yeah, they're gonna light up the scoreboard. Philly, crooked numbers, as John Smoltz loved to say all the time. Yeah. Like, anytime there's more than one run scored.
It's going to be Smoltz, up and down.
He smashes the crooked number button. I'm going with Phillies 7, Astros 4.
Okay, this is, by the way, we are setting ourselves up to be memed to death by Astros fans. Because they are, I'm going to say something nice about Astros fans. Well, their team is really fucking good. But I feel like they're a very strong online army.
Nah.
You don't think so?
Not compared to Philadelphia.
No. Philly's a real life army.
And online.
Yeah, but they're more real life. Like, Astros fans, I feel like, would shake your hand in real life.
Like, if you say the word cheat online.
Yeah.
Oof. There are people. Yeah, definitely. Astros fans are searching for the word cheat. Yes. So, yeah, almost have to do, like, the asterisk on the E if
people
you want to talk about.
Mean to me online.
Wow.
I'm sorry. Are people being mean to you, Max?
Oh, people are very mean
to
me. No. Not online.
Oh, my God.
Not online.
The Phillies fans in real life, it's like Joseph Kony's army because you get them started early. They're like mean 9-year-olds out there that will attack you.
Yeah, those are my guys. Those are my people.
You need to get everyone together.
Do we want Kony to RIP?
It's a callback.
Yeah. Rest in peace.
Yeah, no, that's right. I forgot Hank's a big Kony fan.
Yeah. You also were just saying happy birthday to Darren Sharper, right?
No.
Oh. Billy, your prediction.
He should be in the Hall of Fame.
Okay, Peter King.
So when the
give me like $20, Peter King.
When the Phillies were going off two games ago and they were like 7-0, I was like, they're going to run out of hits for next game. I swear to God, I was thinking it.
But they didn't get that many hits.
LeBron football.
Right, but they were like.
They ran out of home runs.
Yeah, they're getting a ton of home runs. But like in my brain, I'm like, statistically, like that's got to correct.
That's LeBron calling the Kobe's 81-point game.
Yeah.
Post mostly.
Yeah. I know, but like I didn't want to say it because we're all high on the Phillies, but I didn't want to be negative.
So what's your prediction?
So my prediction is Phillies are going to get hits. Astros, how many hits do they have?
Who?
Astros.
How many did they have last night?
I don't know.
Enough.
Enough. More than enough. Well, so, one is more than enough when you know get a no-hitter.
I'm going to guess 7 hits.
Yeah.
It's going to
be probably more.
It's going to be 4-5.
Are you doing hits right now?
No. Home runs. It's going to be 5-4, but I don't know who's going to win.
Okay, good prediction, Billy. Thank you. Jake, someone's got to take the Astros, but I think my guy in the suit over there.
Pitcher's duel. 2-1, Philly.
Oh, okay. Come on.
Fuck, take the Astros,
someone's got to take the Astros.
5-4 Astros.
All right, thank you, Billy.
Astros.
Thank you, Billy.
So I like what Jake's going with this.
We don't want to get memed to death.
Because Jake is implying that like Verlander goes out there and throws objectively an awesome game, but the narrative continues that he still loses.
Yeah.
And we get to keep calling him a choke.
Not a shootout. Verlander's going to stand on his head.
I mean, it's not a narrative after the game one. Like, that was abysmal.
His teams are 1-8 in World Series games he pitches.
No, he's objectively bad. He's never won a World Series game. His ERA is not good in the World Series. It's not like a narrative out of control.
Choker.
He is bad, but it would be funny if he threw like a one hitter and they lost 1-0 in Dinger.
If we really want to laugh at future me, I have Sports Equinox Parlay. It's the last one of the year. Last Sports Equinox.
Nice.
Sad.
Sunday, game 7. They pushed it back. Potentially.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
That's a good call, Jake.
Damn, Jake got you.
Fucking Jake. Bruins, Eagles, Phillies, Nuggets. Money line. So I got the Phillies.
Yeah, my Nuggets.
So this will be fun to listen to tomorrow.
I think it's going to be Eagles and Phillies, though. I'm riding high with Philly, I believe. I think it's going to be – I think Verlander's going to get smoked. I think it's going to be like another shitty game, like 6-2.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And then, Max, are you taking the Astros? You should.
I don't like that everyone on the
Billy
I think
took
I
the
yeah
Astros.
That's bad.
No,
I would have taken the Astros, but I don't have a choice.
Billy took
I have
the Astros.
Billy took maybe the Astros.
Maybe the
he
Astros.
Took 5-4.
No, Billy took the
5-4
Astros.
In somebody. 3-2 in game, something like that.
I want to say this: anyone calling this no hitter, it's not a no hitter.
Well, they did get no
hits. How many hits did you have?
But you can't count it as a no hitter.
No,
I have a very simple question. How many hits did the Phillies have last night?
But multiple.
It's a one word. It's a one word answer.
We can move on after you answer this question.
Yes or no?
It was a hits. It was a hits. I'm trying to reword this.
They
no hitters is one
contact with the ball.
No hitters is one pitcher.
Let me help you.
Their bats hit the ball.
Max, what you're trying to say is, and I agree with this take. A combined no-hitter means less to me.
Yes.
But
it means a lot less.
But it still is
a
no-hitter.
But if you're looking at your team's performance,
they got no
they did not get any hits.
I'm looking at the box score, and the number that they use under the hit column is, in fact, 0.
All right, we're going to win 18-3. Schwarber's going to have 3. I mean, Schwarber doesn't give a shit. I don't give a shit. The boys are fine. We're going to roll it over. It doesn't matter.
New day, 18-3 Phillies.
Okay, so when everyone's listening to this on Friday morning,
it's going to be bad.
We're
going to
either
gonna...
be the biggest idiots or the smartest people in the world, and then the Eagles are going to roll. We agree.
Yeah, we agree on that one.
That was actually the original plan because we thought this was supposed to be the off day. Monday fucked us because we're like, oh, we can tape early on a Thursday. We were obviously going to tape if it was a clinching game, but you got how many hits did you get last night?
Well, last night we got 27 hits because we scored 18 runs.
Oh, yeah, that's right. This is Friday's show. Yeah, good point. 27 hits, 18 runs. That would be nice.
I want to take...
Three walks.
Yeah, three walks. That's true.
That's true. Yeah. Guys so got on base.
Yeah. You probably would have gotten hits if they hadn't walked. The pitchers just... They were like, you know what? Let's just get them on base.
Schwarber also hit a ball down the line, and I want to say like the fourth inning that... I thought it was a fair ball, and if that's a fair ball, Brandon Marsh is on first. Max, he scores. We win the game.
It was a foul ball.
Schwarber
may have been a foul ball, but
great
it was like
at bats.
Yeah, Schwarber had great at bats.
Great at bats.
It's a game of inches. We get that ball's a little bit to the left.
It was a foul ball, Max.
And then I know, but like that
you can't.
You're up one
Max,
nothing.
This is loser talk, right now.
I know.
I'm out of a big jam in the second inning.
It's all right. They won game five. So we're good.
Sure. They won.
All right. So Eagles are going to win easy. Most of us have the Phillies. Before we start talking about the NFL Week 9 preview, PFT, obviously big news for you. Dan Snyder is going to finally maybe sell the team. It's not official, but it feels very official.
I've talked to enough people behind the scenes to know that Dan Snyder is, in fact, going to sell the Washington Commanders. Yesterday was, no joke, the second best sports day of my entire life. I thought about it. As a DC sports fan, number one, Capitals Stanley Cup.
Yeah.
This is number two. Snyder selling the team is number two. The World Series was awesome and it was fun. The Nationals had been a team since 2004, so it's not like I grew up going to the games every day. I still love the team. The World Series is three. And then this is, without a doubt, number two. I've been smiling all day. I popped champagne yesterday.
Yep.
I'm thinking about the possibilities. It just feels like... I'm free now.
Genie,
you're free to be able to root for a team with my whole heart. And fuck Dan Snyder. I hope he goes to prison, which it looks like he might actually go to prison.
That would be sick.
So what happened was the announcement came that he was talking to Bank of America. And then about 8 hours later, the announcement came out that the federal government was investigating him. I'm sure that had nothing to do with each other.
No, that's just a coincidence.
It was a coincidence. But Snyder, he said he was never going to sell. He is, in fact, selling the team. I don't care who buys a team. It could be literally anyone. They're probably better than Dan Snyder as an owner. So I'm finally like super excited. I've been waiting for this moment.
Oh, yeah.
I've talked about it incessantly, probably to the point where people are like, it's never going to happen. You're Charlie Brown with the football again. But this time it's actually going to happen, and I could not be happier. I'm so fucking pumped.
It's crazy that it happened that way where it's like, I thought he would go to jail first, and then like even in jail, like a mafia boss, still be running the team.
I would respect that.
Because it felt like he was never going to lose grip of this fucking team, and then to just see it, just tweet it out like he's hired Bank of America, they're going to sell the team. It's like, wait, really?
For a while, I was thinking that he was trying to BOFA us because like that's every report was like he's talking to BOFA, he's talking to BOFA, and if Snyder had actually done a press conference, be like. The rumors are true. I am talking with BOFA. BOFA D's nuts. I'm never selling the team. Fuck you. I would have respected
that.
I would have respected that, and I would have been like, touche, Dan. And the thing is, I always thought that I would die before Dan Snyder.
Yeah.
Because he's a billionaire. He's probably got that good money that would get him the 10X stuff and have his blood researched and all that. And he would die at like 120. I would die at like 80. Dan Snyder would still own the team. And I honestly thought I would never live to see a day where he was not the owner of the team. And now it looks like it's going to happen. I am making an offer. I'm about to call my relationship banker at Bank of America. I'm preferred customer.
Yep.
I'm going to offer my life savings.
I'll match.
You want to match it?
Yeah, I'll match.
Okay, so we'll get the ball rolling. Hank, you want a double?
Who the fuck do you think I am?
Yeah,
okay.
Of course.
All right, so it's official. Part of my take has made the first official offer to purchase the Washington Commanders for my life savings matched by Big Cat, doubled by Hank.
Can I throw my 401k in there?
Yes.
Yeah. Yes, you can. I have a 401k from like three jobs ago
I forgot about. I do too.
I think there's like 15 grand in there.
Yep.
I'll throw that in as well.
I'll put all the money I put towards top shots.
Okay.
Oh, you can have that's everything. Huge. You all just I'll sell, relocate my account.
Your I'll assets? Sell my yeah. Xbox.
Oh, you will?
Yep. I'll sell my Xbox One.
That's huge. Mm-hmm. I will sell my ownership in the Green Bay Packers as well.
Okay. So
no conflict of interest.
This is a lot we're offering.
Wait, why would you
They can have my water dog steak.
Mine too.
Why don't we just borrow yeah, all those assets?
Yeah, yeah we it. Can. We can yeah. borrow everything.
Can we trade?
Yeah,
we I'll trade throw the water,
3% of the water
I'll
dogs.
My Swansea. I'll throw in the water
breakers?
Dogs. The
New
breakers,
Zealand breakers.
Throw it all in. I'll throw it all in.
Yeah, we you own a lot of stuff.
I'm basically giving Dan Snyder three other teams.
To ruin.
That's a 3-for-1 trade.
I actually, if
it's
we,
like the one guy in fantasy who's like, give me Patrick Mahomes and I'll give you like... I'll give you like Kadarius Toney and a backup running back.
The meanest, James Robinson. The meanest thing that you could ever do is to trade the New Zealand Breakers to Dan Snyder, and then he goes and ruins their entire team.
Yeah, well, that's listen, different time zone.
Yeah, that's true. So basically, I'm on cloud nine right now. I could not be happier than I am, and I'm just super pumped. And then I started to think about what the possible owners would be in the future. People are talking about Bezos.
Get Bezos in there. I want Bezos.
Bezos would be. An electric owner to yeah. have like one of the richest people in the world running a team, and he would probably could only use the bathroom like once a game if you went to it, and
yep.
he'd have like a supervisor making sure that you weren't taking extra breaks.
Yep.
The only thing I'm a little bit nervous about that I don't think I can do mental gymnastics to get around is what if MBS and the Live Tour,
ooh.
The Saudi money comes in like Newcastle and
I
buys
mean, you
the team.
You gotta do it. You think you just gotta. They might be better than Dan Snyder.
Listen, Dan Snyder, to be fair, Dan Snyder hates the Washington Post exactly as much as MBS does.
Right.
But he just doesn't have the balls to pull it off.
Right. So, I'm very, very happy for you. It's incredible that it's finally happening. There is like a 0.001% of my brain that's still nervous that he's just going to be like, we've done the due diligence. Like, there's a stalling tactic. It's very small percent, but I don't want to see you get hurt again where he's yeah. like, yeah, we did... We did the paperwork. We went out to bid and nah.
You know what? $5 billion isn't enough.
Yeah,
so I'm gonna
right.
Keep it.
Right.
That's what I was thinking when they were.
He's such an evil fucking piece of shit.
When they were talking about selling the, or when they were talking about renaming the team a couple years ago, he put together like a commission to study whether or not the name was offensive. It would have been very funny if he had come back and be like, yeah, our commission found out that the name's not offensive.
Right.
So we're going to stick with Redskins.
Yes.
There's a possibility that whoever buys the team next could rebrand the name again, which is kind of funny.
Go
like,
back to football
go
team.
Go back to football team.
Football team was
or,
the best.
Or the Hogs or the Red Hogs.
Yeah.
So it's just – I'm excited for what the future has to offer. And Dan Snyder's always been a piece of shit. I don't – it's not a recent thing for anybody that's paid attention.
No.
He got his money – by scamming people that didn't speak English and forcing them to switch their long-distance service. He's just a bad, bad human being, and I hope nothing but the worst things happen to him in his future. And
jail,
I hope,
bitch.
I hope he dies in prison.
Yeah,
after
jail, bitch.
I hope he lives a long life in prison, getting to watch how happy I am. And, yeah, we're going to do a parade in D.C. when he sells the team. We're going to take a lap around the Beltway.
I love it.
It's going to be – this is my Super Bowl. So
love it.
I'm very – yeah, man, I haven't stopped smiling since yesterday morning.
It's awesome. It's awesome. Freedom. Freedom. You are William Wallace. You have
yep.
freedom. Okay, so should we do some picks?
Hey, it's PFT here talking about Peloton. Starting is everything when it comes to fitness. Peloton encourages you to get moving by doing what you can. Peloton helps you start no matter what level you're at. That's why they have instructors who motivate you from day one with thousands of classes from all levels to get you started. I love my Peloton. I'm back on the Buns of Anarchy. I've been back on the bike if you want to join Buns of Anarchy. Wherever you're starting, get moving with a Peloton bike or Bike Plus rental at www.onepeloton.com/bike/rentals. Terms apply.
Okay. Week 9, boys. Halfway point. We're week 9.
Don't say that.
This slate sucks, but it doesn't because it's still football. But if we're going to judge it, like, there's it was very clear before the season when you look at the – I think how it works is basically CBS and Fox get a couple dates every year where they can have, like, only one other game in their time slot, a premier afternoon game. And before the season, they're like Rams-Bucks, week
yeah.
9. Not realizing that both teams suck. But we're going to do it week 9. Jake, what are the standings?
We have a
we're
lot
bad.
Of movement.
We're really bad.
We have a lot of movement. Big Cat, you're still in first place at 16-16.
Nice.
And then we have a three-way tie for second, third, and fourth. Hank is riding an 0-8 stretch right
oh,
now.
Oh, no.
Are you riding it?
Oh, no.
Yeah, Hank, you just turned your mic on like you were going to say something.
No.
Okay.
So, 0-8. 16 and 16, Big Cat. Me, PFT are a little hot, so we're at 13 and 19 with Hank at 13 and 19, Billy at 12 and 20, and Max at 11 and 21.
Wow.
Max went 0-4 as well. So we've had an 0-4 every week.
We are bad,
Hank,
bad,
you're
bad.
0-8 in your last eight?
Still I've been second. There.
Yeah, so you can check out Hank's Sports Equinox parlay that he has.
Okay.
I can't wait till that fucking hits.
Well, my Nuggets are going to bring it home.
Yeah. Okay, so let's do some picks. Let's talk about some games. Let's preview the week. We'll start with favorites. And, Hank, you want to get us going, and we'll talk about every game and what we got going on?
Yeah, I'm going to take the Green Bay Packers as my favorite.
Ooh. Mm.
Wow.
The Lions, I bet they're 3.5-point favorites. They are 0-5 in their last five games in Detroit, which is kind of a surprising stat.
Mm-hmm. Against the spread.
Against the spread. The Lions are in every game. I bet them every game. They seem to be covering every game, and then they lose. Like, that has pretty much been the Lions. I feel like the last 2 years have been, you bet them underdogs. I usually do. They're winning the game, and you're like, oh. And usually by, like, 10 points, you're like, oh, you know, they got this locked up. And then in the fourth quarter, they just collapse and lose by 10.
Right, yeah. And I've been like, thinking about it because it does feel like Dan Campbell, you know, the Lions season started with a little bit of optimism, playing fun games. They are 0-4 in their last four against the spread. It feels like, you know, like, Dan Campbell could have at least hung his hat on being like, yeah, we covered the spread. We're very close every game. They have not been very close every game recently. This game is basically, if the Packers have any chance of being a playoff team, making a run, they have to womp them. Like, their offense has to look great against the Lions on Sunday.
I think the Lions have been, they've been competitive against the spread. Like, they might.
Well, no, they're not 0-4.
Yeah, oh, but they're competitive against the
close
spread.
To
you
it.
Know what I'm saying?
Yeah, they're
like,
close to it.
Like, they are probably covering spreads in the fourth quarter.
Yes.
Like, if there was a, you know, a win probability, but it was covering probability, like, in the fourth quarter, it's probably high, and then it just falls off a cliff.
Extremely
That's
high.
The problem.
With the exception of that Patriots game. The one against the Cowboys where it was 24-6. That they should have covered that.
It was 10-6 going into the they were going in.
Their cover probability was like Atlanta Falcons. That was like 28-3 collapse that they had. And against the Dolphins, they should have covered that game too. I love them against the Packers. I think Aaron Rodgers, he's got COVID thumb. Have you seen, like, he's very upset about his thumb right now. He's like, my thumb's not getting any better. It's getting worse, in fact. I think that this is, like, it's not a fluke that Aaron Rodgers sucks right now. If he wants to, this is a perfect excuse for him. Just be like, yeah, my thumb is extreme. The doctor said that he's never seen a worse thumb than mine.
Yeah.
In my life.
And the fact that the Packers, too, like, it's hard for me to criticize because they've won for so long and they've been competitive for so long. But I know the Packers fans are so mad that they did nothing on the trade deadline.
Oh, yeah.
Like that. And the Bears did take Chase Claypool from them. Like, that was the story that came out, that basically the Packers were offering their second round pick, and the Bears were like, all right, we'll give you ours instead of the Ravens.
It's smart. Like, that's what the 49ers did with Christian McCaffrey too. If you find out that your division rival is going for a person, you can offer a little bit more, because not only are you getting that player, but your opponent isn't getting that player.
Right. Packers also worst start since 2006. And the last six times the Packers have gone 3-5 or worse since 1990, they've missed the playoffs. So this is the – like, if they win this game and they win it easily, I think that we'll be sitting here on Monday being like, okay, watch out for the Packers. They can make a little run. If they struggle here offensively against a really bad defense, that it's official that their offense is completely, completely broken. Because it's been broken, but it's like, this is the get-right spot.
I like the Lions straight up.
Okay. That's your favorite. Max, your favorite.
Bucks minus three.
Mm. Yes. Yes. Yes.
Stop it.
No. That's not my pick, no, but that is going to be one of my picks.
I was making fun of you about the Bucks last week. They have to win this game, and the Rams stink.
Don't you think that McVay still has it in the back of his head every time he plays against Brady, like, I want to beat the fuck out of this guy?
Yeah, for sure. But So
I love the reports of McVay just running away once this current team goes away.
The last dance.
That's bad sports coach.
That's some bad juju going into this game. Yeah,
that's fucked up.
It's crazy because they both suck in almost the exact same way. Their offensive lines are just both terrible. I think the Bucs' offensive line is slightly less terrible. Do you know the Rams are on their fifth right guard?
Yeah,
fifth. Fifth right guard. They're on their third center and their fifth right guard.
And their left tackle is it still the backup or is it the third string?
I was looking at it last night. I don't know if it was a tweet from maybe a week ago. So it was their second left tackle, their second left guard, their third center, their fifth right guard, and still the same right tackle.
Yeah.
That's insane. Their fifth, like, are there five dudes that you can find? I know that they've been switching around, too, so some guys have been, like, a backup somewhere else.
Yeah, you start to take, like, backup centers and move them to guard.
Right. It's insane. The other stat I had, this is – Jake, can you please remind me this because we always forget it? The Tom Brady day versus night thing is very real, and he is old. And so since he's gone to the Bucs, he's 22-12 against the spread at daytime, and he's 2-11 against the spread at nighttime. So we got to just make sure we never bet on Tom Brady at night again.
So that means next week when we set the clocks back,
yeah,
that means that it's going to fuck him up real bad.
Yeah, it's going to fuck him up real bad.
So this is the last week that you can bet on him before the clocks get set.
Yes.
What about morning? Because that's what they're going next
week. Yeah.
Oh, Germany?
He's going to be all fucked up.
Oh, by the way, a lot of people came up with a good idea. Oktoberfest.
Oh,
that's good.
Oktoberfest. Yeah. Uh-huh. I like that. Yeah. This is not my pick, but Max, I will be betting on the Bucs. I can't. I am so pot committed now that I was looking at it last night. It's like, hey, what you know that the old drill tweet? Like someone helped me with my finances, and it's like $10,000 for candles every month.
Yep.
It's like why am I so bad at gambling? Oh, the Bucs are 0-6 in their last six against the spread.
There you go.
Yeah. So that's why, because I keep fucking thinking I'm buying at the lowest, and it keeps getting lower.
They can't lose everyone.
They could.
They stink.
No. Okay, PFT, your favorite.
My favorite is the Rams.
No.
Oh, sorry, the underdog is the Rams. My favorite is going to be... I'm going to go with the Dolphins.
Ooh, okay. I understand.
No disrespect.
No, I mean, the Bears' defense is very, very bad. Yeah. I don't know how they're going to guard those guys.
Two guys in this game.
What?
It's going to be a guy off.
Tua and Justin Fields? Yeah. Listen, I'm very clear about what I do not care about wins and losses right now. As long as Justin Fields keeps looking. I read a long article about how they finally, I think I alluded to this, but they admitted that they stole plays from the Ravens, like, what took you so long?
Mm-hmm.
And everything they're doing with Justin Fields now has opened up, like, how he sees the field because he's a weapon running, and they're actually using him as a weapon running.
Yeah. Are you allowed to double down on games, or do they have to be all four different ones?
No, people have doubled up.
Okay, yeah, so I'll just say this is also going to be my over.
Yeah,
it's my over and Dolphins. I think the Dolphins are probably going to get the over by themselves.
45.5. There is supposed to be a little weather, but who the fuck cares? I don't think the Bears could stop it.
No, I think that the Bears offense will continue to improve. I think that Big Cat's going to get enough out of this game to be encouraged.
That's all I want.
And I think the defense is just going to get gashed.
The only stat against the Dolphins, and this one makes sense, and also this is why we suck at gambling. Teams off a 20-point loss are 66-48 against the spread, which makes sense because you see a team suck,
mm-hmm.
and you're like, well, they suck forever, but usually they don't.
Yep.
The Raiders are in the same boat this week where they lost by more than 20 points, and you're like, they're dead.
They stink, yeah.
And then, of course, they'll probably come back.
I just think this game is going to look a lot like think about what happened last week with the Cowboys and the Bears. This is going to be the same game except worse, I think.
Yeah. Yeah, it definitely has that possibility. As long as he plays well, though, everything else. Chase Claypool wearing Mitch's number kind of fucked up. I thought we'd retire it, but that's okay.
You know what you need? You need somebody to find a connection between Chase Claypool and Justin Fields.
Well, there's...
And let me know, like, what happened? Did they ever cross paths at the same, like, elite camp or something like that?
There is the connection, Cole Kmet and Chase Claypool, both Notre Dame guys, and there's a clip that's been... in Bears Twitter where after the Bears and Steelers played Monday Night Football last year, they're like, we got to find a way to link up.
Okay, that's good.
Yeah, pretty
that's,
good.
That's a start. I would like to see something like, I don't know, maybe Justin Fields and Chase Claypool like met each other when they were getting recruited.
Yeah.
There's a picture of them on the sidelines of the game. Show me that there's some connection
they
between
the
two.
They might have played, I think Notre Dame lost to Clemson that year. I don't think they played in a big playoff game against each other. But my memory is shit. Okay, my favorite, I'm going to go with the Chargers -3. And I have an insane stat for you guys.
Against Atlanta.
Against Atlanta. Do you know that teams that play the Panthers the next week, they're 0-7?
I did not
know that. The Panthers beat the shit out of teams.
I did not know that.
Every team that's played the Panthers the following week, they lose their next game, including so much so the Rams played the Panthers in week 6. They had a bye week, and they still lost their next game, week 8.
What is it about the Panthers? So the teams that beat the Panthers, are they covering the spread against the Panthers before they lose?
Some are, yeah. I don't think they've been horrendous against spread, but even the Browns, week 1, beat the Panthers, and then week 2, the crazy Jets game, the comeback.
Yeah.
No matter what, when you play the Panthers the following week, you lose.
Either you get beaten up by them and you're still sore going to the next game, or they're just so bad that you think that this is what NFL football is like.
Yeah.
And so then you lose that extra high gear.
It's a weird stat. I'm just going to run. That's one of my favorite like weird stats that clearly has no actual correlation. Mm-hmm. It's just a random thing, but writing random stats is fun.
You beat Matt Rhule and you're like, wow, the NFL is really easy. Yeah. Every coach is like this.
Yeah.
And then nope.
Also, Justin Herbert is like incredible in Eastern and Central time zone. I don't know what that's about, but I just like time zone, especially because we're changing the clocks next week.
Yeah, he's traveling, though. He's traveling. You can always just say that somebody's traveling east,
yeah,
and that's the reason that you're not betting on him. It's helpful to know when they are, in fact,
good
at traveling
east.
East.
Yeah, he's good at traveling east. So, and this game is going to be this was my second over that I was thinking about taking because the Chargers suck against the run, and the Falcons suck against the pass. So both teams should be able to score all day, which means it'll probably go under.
Yeah, I have the under in this one.
Yeah, okay. All right, Billy, your favorite.
I'm going Vikings -3.5 over Washington.
Come on, Billy.
Boo.
Look.
Boo.
I'm high on the Vikings.
This is the ultimate revenge game.
I know. Okay. We got Kirk Cousins coming back. He's going to ask him.
Kevin O'Connell
like
coming back.
Yeah, we got Hawkinson coming in.
Kirk Cousins never played for a team with a 5-game winning streak.
Well, it doesn't matter.
They're on a 5-game winning streak.
I know. Doesn't matter.
So he's never had a 6-game winning streak.
Right.
Right. But guess what? They got tape on Heinicke now. They're going to be able to dictate his movements. There's no more surprises. So
that's the thing about Heinicke is it's all surprises.
Yeah, it is.
The entire
he
playbook.
He surprises himself.
The entire playbook is a surprise.
Right. I do have a stat that will back you up, Billy, if you're ready for this. Kirk Cousins at FedEx Field in his career is 14-15 against the spread. So
yeah,
he's clearly going to cover.
Yeah,
because he has to go 15-15 against the spread. That's the most Kirk Cousins thing ever.
It would be.
He's 14-15 going into this game. The most Kirk Cousins thing ever would be exactly .500 against the spread.
Yeah.
At FedEx Field.
Counterpoint, we're wearing our black uniforms to remind him of the night.
Oh, hell yeah.
Counterpoint.
So, and also, we're wearing the black uniforms, and for the first time, I think, in the history of the team, we're doing a blackout where they're asking all the fans to wear black to a 1 p.m. game, which is that's usually a nighttime thing, isn't it?
Yeah.
We're doing it, I think, in the middle of the afternoon to remind Kirk Cousins of a primetime game, I think. So it's psychological warfare. This is serious stuff.
Counterpoint, new ownership means the coaching staff's probably all going to get fired. Guys are working on their resumes, not watching tape.
But he's not going to sell the team for like 3 years.
Right, but still.
This shit takes a while.
Well, our offer is in cash.
Yeah, that is true.
So it's a clean transaction.
And stock in teams.
Yes.
Yeah.
But it's relatively clean. We don't need to like borrow debt or anything. Whatever.
I got a
rich
Roth IRA.
Do.
I'm unfortunately in the camp that I think the Vikings are just going to keep winning games so that people just keep getting mad at us. And knowing that it will pay off for us, but we're going to have to deal with Vikings fans coming for our neck for a while.
That's fine.
Yeah.
That's fine. Let the band play neck. I'm fine with that. I actually think that if you just go off of what will make part of my take look like the biggest idiots, which has generally been a good bet in the history of this podcast, the Vikings are probably going to smash the Commanders.
Smash them.
And
yeah.
and Kirk's going to have like the game of his life, and then I'm going to miss him because I do secretly miss having Kirk Cousins when you look at the other stuff I put up with. It's going to be – I think it's not a bad bet to bet on the Vikings this weekend. I'll be honest with you.
Vikings fan, let it be known that I am pro-Vikings.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's because Kirk Cousins – You look like him.
No, Billy just digs Norse mythology.
No, I just like Culver's.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Cool.
You could be a Packer fan then, too.
Yeah, same thing.
A Bears fan?
Well, Culver's is like...
It's I've only a had lot it of places. Minnesota. Yeah, it's not the only one.
Okay.
Billy does, in fact, listen to like Viking chants in the car when he's driving places.
Yeah.
It's kind of cool.
Okay, Jake, your favorite.
I'm taking the New England Patriots -5.5 at home against the Indianapolis Colts. Sam Ehlinger's first road start. Belichick is just going to – this is going to be one of those games where it's like Belichick still has his fastball.
Deflategate revenge game.
Yeah. Deflategate revenge game.
The rivalry is back on.
Yeah. He is 14-0 straight up against rookie QBs at home.
Yeah, I think it – I don't know if the Patriots will be able to score, but I could see like a 20-6 game.
I agree with that stat. I am counting Ehlinger as a rookie QB.
Yeah.
He's a first-year quarterback.
Yeah. He is. This is his first. He didn't start last year.
So this is, yeah, I mean, Billy just keeps getting into these one-on-one put my reputation on the line type games. Now you're going up against Hank.
It's big.
Billy, if
2 weeks in a row.
They're not going to, but if the Colts did somehow miraculously win this game, you got to write a blog redrafting that draft class and just put Sam Ehlinger first.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I can't believe so many people like didn't put Ehlinger even in any of those conversations.
Mm-hmm. It's weird.
I saw one of them, David Carr.
A lot of them are just they just redraft the first round. That's why.
Yeah, David Carr had him higher than Mac Jones.
Really?
And I got mad.
You got mad?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I'm saying if the Colts win, you got to put them first, and people.
Yeah. I think if the Colts win, you got to count this as a Jets win over the Patriots.
Oh, 100%.
Yeah.
I mean, but on the other hand, Hank could go on a little 2-game winning streak of defeating all your favorite quarterbacks.
Yeah.
You know, honestly, I actually watched tape from Sam Ehlinger, like play by play, every snap he took, and he looked amazing.
Really?
The way he was able to scramble and hit guys in stride.
Yeah. Right. Amazing is a big word, though. Like that's right.
I think what the word you're looking for is he looked better than the Jets.
No, yeah. But if you, I mean, the final drive, he hit two guys in stride, and he did. One of them dropped him, and like could have won the game if it wasn't for a drop. Like he's a gamer, bro.
Okay.
Gamer.
He's like what you think Heineke is.
Oh, no, don't even
he's
start
like,
that.
Wow. He is what you think Heineke is.
Remind me, because I think those two quarterbacks have played recently. Who won?
Right, but, you know.
Oh, yeah, that's right. It was 6 days ago.
It was a point difference, and there was different variables.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Listen, I'm just saying, like, don't besmirch Taylor Heineke. He didn't do anything to you.
I know, I actually think he's chill as fuck.
He is chill as fuck. All right, your favorite underdog, Hank.
Left hand up.
Yeah, Commanders. I almost did the Commanders, but that Kirk Cousins stat scared me off because he is the most 500 quarterback of all time.
Yeah, he's just going to come in and beat me. I just know that.
But the Kirk Cousins stat that he's never had a 5-game winning streak means he's going to revert.
Yeah, that's true.
And it's like, you know, there's the interim coach effect in football, more college football, but
interim owner.
How many times does that happen?
You keep saying interim.
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 You know
interim.
What?
Interim.
Wait, Hank, do you know?
There's another I in there.
Interim.
Interim.
What did you said interim?
Internally?
Interim.
Yeah. we do have to hire an interim this summer.
I like interim better, actually.
Interim Billy.
Tom Brady never had an 18 winning streak, and he then, you know, he never got a 19. So I understand. Same concept.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Hmm.
Got him.
Yeah. Also, didn't he? So wasn't there a stretch that they won like
23? Actually, I think. I think they won 22.
Because I think they won a Super Bowl and then
2003, 2004. I think they won like 23 games in a row.
Not the same season.
If I had to
in season
guess.
Streaks,
in season
count.
Streaks. Okay. Got no it. One's ever so, had a 24 game in season winning streak.
Yeah.
Think about that.
But no, wait. If you're talking about in season, then you can't count the postseason. You have to roll over to the next regular season.
Yeah, 23 in a row, and once they got 21 in a row. And once 18 in a row.
Oh, Jesus.
Must be nice.
Okay, so you have the Commanders.
Got him, though.
Pete, can't imagine that. If,
well,
like,
never 19 in a row.
Over the last 10 years of your life.
No, but twice.
The no, Bears never had 19 on three the winning streaks, separate winning streaks of over 16 games.
23 games in a row. 23 happy Sundays in a row.
That's stupid.
That's insane. That is insane. Max, your favorite underdog?
Seahawks plus two against Cardinals.
I'm on that with you.
One and a half.
I hate the Cardinals.
Seahawks might actually just be good.
Geno Smith, offensive player of the month for the NFC.
They are.
Oh, wait, the Colts have the longest with 23.
Oh, no.
Patriots have 21. It's Patriots. Yeah, all right.
Revenge game.
The 21 was 2003-2004.
The Seahawks.
Oh, my bad.
We don't do nerd stats on this show, but DVOA, which I never understand, but I know it means something. The Seahawks and the Bills are the only two teams with top 11 offense, defense, and special teams DVOA. Mm. They might actually just be good.
DVOA is one of those stats that I also don't know what goes into it, but I know that only smart people use
Correct.
It and know what they're talking
Correct.
About. And I completely throw it out there and don't pay attention to it unless it's like they're number one or number two.
Right.
And so I agree. I think the Seahawks are actually just a good football team. And I think that the Cardinals are just
they
an
suck.
Extremely stupid football team.
They suck.
I think they're stupid.
It's so clear that Cliff Kingsbury is getting fired. I mean, the minute that Kyler Murray yelled at him on the sideline, like, I don't know. I know they'll say, like, oh, that's just football. We're just angry. We both want to win.
Yeah.
Doesn't feel that way. Okay, PFT, your favorite underdog. The Lions?
I do like the Lions. I'm taking them straight up, but I didn't have them. I have the Jets, actually.
Ooh.
I have the Jets in this one.
I like this.
It's a lot of points. They're at home. Billy endorses it.
Yeah, they're at home.
Yeah, they're at home.
Yeah, they're at home. But 12
and a half?
Me.
Secondary's shot.
Yeah, what are we at, Jake?
Who? Bills?
12 and a half against the Bills.
Do you think Zach Wilson will be taking advantage of that?
Josh Allen commented that in his second year, he threw three picks against the Patriots, and that's when he really got it together.
Mm-hmm.
I think this might be that next step. And total trap game.
Yeah, it's a trap game.
Total trap
I agree
game.
With that. I love how most of Billy's stats about Zach Wilson for the last 2 years have been like, well, he just threw four interceptions last week, so he probably won't do that again
yeah.
this
Well, basically, his problem was he was getting bored of throwing the ball away.
Yeah,
why he threw all those picks.
Yes, true. So
no, but seriously,
I don't think he'll get bored.
You could throw to checkdowns.
He's not going to be as bored this weekend.
When you're getting rushed like that, he just basically he needs to work on being a game manager because he can be a playmaker as he showed in the last game.
Here's why I think the Jets.
He showed that in the Patriots game.
Yeah, did you see
that one touchdown?
He threw two touchdowns. He threw more touchdowns than Mac Jones.
Right.
The Jets scored more touchdowns than the Patriots.
Where are you at, though, with him overall? Because I do think, like, the Jets are a good football team, and it does feel like Zach Wilson's the one holding them back.
He just, it's a, basically, bro, like, I know it's boring.
Wait, hold on.
This is bro to bro.
This is a bro to bro speech. Billy Football
bro,
to Zach
bro
Wilson.
Bro to bro.
All right, go.
Bro, you know, 23-year-old. In the workforce.
Don't look at me, Billy. You're talking to Zach Wilson.
Look at the camera.
Okay, 23-year-old in the workforce. Sometimes not everything's going to come fast. You got to be patient. And we are making mistakes together. And, you know, 23-year-olds in the workforce.
Okay.
Sometimes.
Bro to bro.
Bro to bro. Got to be patient. Sometimes you still got to eat the hot sauce. You know, one day maybe you won't have to eat the hot sauce. But right now, you got to eat the hot sauce and throw the ball away. It sucks.
Yeah, just win a bet.
That was a very good speech. We'll call it in the workforce.
I don't know.
Hey, it's PFT here talking about Peloton. Starting is everything when it comes to fitness. Peloton encourages you to get moving by doing what you can. Peloton helps you start no matter what level you're at. That's why they have instructors who motivate you from day one with thousands of classes from all levels to get you started. I love my Peloton. I'm back on the Buns of Anarchy. I've been back on the bike if you want to join Buns of Anarchy. Wherever you're starting, get moving with a Peloton bike or bike plus rental at www.onepeloton.com/bike/rentals. Terms apply.
I was going to say something mean, but I'm not going
to. What were you
going to
say?
I was going to say Max is going tonight. It's going to be great.
Oh. That was fucked.
That will be.
I said I wasn't going to say it. So
yeah, that's true. You did.
Why'd
say
you
that.
Have to catch? He caught a stray. Come on.
Yeah. I didn't say it.
He didn't say it. He said he was
going. I was
say
going
it.
To.
You did say it though.
No, he didn't.
You did say it.
He said he
wait,
was.
Wait, Hank
to.
Said it.
No, he said he was going to. He didn't say it.
Yeah, Hank. Was,
I didn't say.
Hank
it.
Was going to say it.
No, but the words came out of his mouth.
Oh, so it's like a difference between a no hitter and just not getting any hits.
Doesn't count.
Yeah.
Combined no hitters.
All right. So, yeah. So then Hank saying it doesn't count. Right.
Okay. So what does Zach Wilson have to do this game for you to? Are you're not even out on him?
No, I'm not.
Well, you kind of are because you're in on Sam.
No, I'm actually.
You said you'd rather have Sam.
I think he could actually take big steps this game.
You
this
said
game?
That you'd rather have Sam.
This the big
though.
Step game?
Well, because he kind of made big steps last game by making big throws and, you know, creating plays. Now he just needs to figure out the balance of trying to make big plays and also trying to be a game manager.
And eating the hot
like
sauce.
He's the complete opposite
Wait,
of
so
Mac
which
Jones.
One is he supposed to do?
He's got to find the balance.
Billy, you're listen, I've been through the guy thing a long time, but when you have to bash other guys to prop up your guy, it never like
I know.
It doesn't really help your argument. Well, like, well, he's Mac Jones stinks.
No, but
that
like,
doesn't make Zach Wilson
the thing
good.
Is, I wrote about this in my blog. The thing is, quarterbacks with great arms and who are able to make great plays, it's hard for them to be game managers. But that is a way better problem than a game manager who can't make plays. Like, the guy is so capable of throwing absolute bombs and dimes that when he can't and has to make the start decision and not make a gigantic play.
You can't cage a songbird.
Yeah, you can't, you know, you got to let. But he needs to figure out. It's like training a dog instead of putting a dog in a cage. Like, he's got to know when to come back.
Okay.
There's a lot of stuff said about really, Zach Wilson there that I don't.
All I'm going to say is knowing how you need to be managed at work and how you just tried to manage Zach Wilson, he's going to be pissed at you because you're telling him to do two different things right now.
No, I'm telling him to do, like, go make the big plays,
but
just.
Also, don't make the bad plays.
Well, which one do you want, Billy?
This actually is a good strategy. I sent a message to Ryan Poles, the Bears GM. I said, in the upcoming draft, it's very important. Do not draft any of the bad players.
Just like when you have to throw the ball away.
Right.
You know, in
don't
the, sec-
do the,
in
bad
the second
plays.
Half, like, I know it's going to get boring. Like, you know, jobs are boring sometimes. Just do the easy thing.
Grunt
just
work. What do you do when you get bored at work?
I stand up and I walk around.
And he says, Big Cat, can you do this TikTok real quick?
Yeah.
So maybe.
No, that's actually, that's my job.
So maybe Zach needs to just
walked in.
Needs to just pace the sidelines more frequently.
Just throw the ball away. Just live to fight another day.
Yeah,
read some George Washington tactics.
Right. It's simple.
Tactically retreat.
No bad plays, Zach.
Let the punter punt the ball. Like, you have a great defense.
Good
Let
call.
That do
that's right.
It. This isn't BYU. This isn't, you know, the Pac-12. Like, it's not
that's
like.
Not BYU.
I don't even know. Like, when you're playing Pac-12 teams and they're just putting up tons of points. Like, not every drive is going to be five plays, 80 yards,
punt,
touchdown.
A punt is a good result to a drive.
Okay.
Yeah, so I but the real reason why I like the Jets is that I think that the Jets defense is really, really
it
talented.
Is.
Especially, I think they can get their front four, can get to Josh Allen a little bit, heat him up just a little. Because if you sit back and you play like, you know, if you blitz people, Josh Allen is going to just like carve you up.
Also, last point, the Bills did lose to the Jaguars last year.
Yeah, that's true. That did happen.
9-6.
Now
your coping strategy is like they lost to a really historically shitty team last year. So we might have a chance.
Right. And also Zach Wilson is better than Mac Jones.
And Trevor Lawrence.
And Trevor Lawrence. And you want to say Justin Fields? Go ahead.
I think he has a better arm than Justin Fields.
Okay.
All right. So the real answer is I think that the Jets defense is going to be good enough to limit Josh Allen to not blowing them out as badly as some people think that they're going to get blown out.
Does having a good arm, is that a good thing when you just throw it to the other team?
Well, it's a bad thing because you know you can do certain things.
Right.
And it makes you
right.
Not be
so it's really
manager.
Zach Wilson's, it's not his fault. He's just better than the job.
He's just so
he's
good.
Overqualified.
Yeah, he's so
he's overqualified
good.
For
yeah,
his
no,
job.
Seriously. It's like. It's like he's so talented.
Good. Yeah.
He's so talented that he doesn't like other,
I got it.
Like people with less talented arms work on being game managers.
Yeah, no,
because
he's
they can't do what he does.
He's almost they need to create a new football league, a better football league that he could play in because he's too good for the NFL.
The Jets need more like entry level quarterbacks.
Yeah. Yeah.
That can grow with the position.
Yeah.
They don't need to go out there headhunting.
Okay, so you guys both have the Jets, I have the Cardinals. Jake, that was a great analysis.
You the Seahawks?
Oh, Seahawks. Sorry.
I'm with Hank, so we're all paired up. I have the Commanders plus 3.5.
Wow.
Against the Vikings.
Could
I
be
think
pain together.
This is the cherry on top for a great week for PFT.
Give me
okay.
I think just riding that momentum.
So, I am a little bit concerned because the last 2 days have been so incredible.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
Something bad is about
to happen. On top.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
Right now, it's like, you know, I've never had a 3-day winning streak in my life.
Yeah.
But maybe I could get four.
Yeah.
So we're all.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Okay, overs. Hank, give it to us. He's finding it right now.
No, I just... Well, yeah, yes.
I have one last Jets-Bills
voice. Okay, great.
I think Josh Allen's going to get beat up by the Jets' D. I don't think he's going to be able to manage.
I think the Jets' defense might be able to heat him up.
That's a good point.
Thank you. Yeah.
I think so because like sometimes point. when you like try to blitz Josh Allen, yeah. Have you noticed like he'll carve up a blitz?
Yeah.
But if you can get to him with your front four,
yeah.
I think that's the key, and I think the Jets defense is good enough they can heat him up.
Yep, I agree.
Billy, do you agree?
I think they're going to beat him
it's
up.
Good. No, okay. They're going to heat him up like a microwave.
And then they're going to eat him up.
Okay.
Heat
nice.
And eat
and beat.
And beat.
Hank.
All right.
0-8 the last 8. Fading myself.
Wait, you haven't hit an over? I mean, the overs have just not hit in the NFL.
I'm 0-8 my last 8 picks total.
Are you talking about your lottery machine picks, or are you talking about...
No, we're talking about
the subject we're talking about.
Oh, it's both. It's both. Okay.
Over 42.5 Rams-Bucks. It's disgusting.
Oh.
It's gross.
Oh.
I don't think it's going to be good.
No.
Cooper Kupp?
Brady's not good. Big Cat is... I just want to have a rooting interest during this game. When I'm watching with Big Cat, usually, like I know sometimes we go on different sides and that just happens naturally. But usually, I try to stay away from deliberately picking against them. Sometimes it just happens. I have no remorse with the Bucks.
I do not deserve any remorse.
At rock bottom.
Correct.
You are in a place.
Correct.
It's bad.
Yep.
You need help. You
yep.
need to talk to someone.
Yep.
Because you just can't. You can't see. You're blinded
by
the Bucs.
No, I know. It's you know what it is? It's not even Brady. It's their defense. Like, I think that their defense is really good, and they're just not. And, yeah, no, I deserve no remorse, no pity. It's all my own doing. It's a completely self-inflicted wound.
I think you bet on the Bucs just so that you can yell at Stephen
Chen.
Yeah, there's
it's basically you're buying yourself a ticket
to
the show of just screaming at Stephen.
Well, and also, what everyone knows this. Anyone who's gambled once in their life knows that once you get committed to something, I know that if I took the Rams in this game, the Bucks will win.
Yeah.
That is just a stone cold lock. Ooh, Hank.
Wait, Hank.
Oh,
you,
we got sneezes
Hank's
everywhere.
Sneezing into a piece of paper.
You guys okay over there?
Yeah, right? What paper was that you just sneezed into?
Computer paper. I've never.
Panthers and Bengals. Well, bro, I wasn't going to fucking sneeze on this nice ass tracksuit.
You sneezed onto your picks?
You could.
No, this is a.
Week 8. Week 7.
Oh, this is from Planet Football.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Which is out now.
Yeah. What did the booger touch?
Burrow and Bengals are going to need PJ after he suffers a burned sack.
Nice.
I don't know. Oh, that was KB talking about petroleum jelly. And I was like, I don't think we're going to know what the initials PJ stand for, KB.
Deep cut.
Planet Football out now.
Max, go ahead with your over.
Lions, Packers. Ooh. Lions. Our over team. Lions
yeah.
are the over team.
20-8 in their last
49.5.
20-8 to the over since 2019 at home. So that backs it up. PFT.
My over is put the house on the Dolphins Bears.
Yep, I got that as well. Billy.
Chiefs Titans 46.5.
Oh, we haven't talked about this game. Chiefs Titans.
I do can't stop Patrick Mahomes in the pass game, but also can't stop Derrick Henry.
It's Andy Reid off a bye. So everyone knows, like, it's the probably the most talked about stat. He's 27-6 straight up off a bye. I think it's like 13 weeks or more, or 13 days more rest, because that also counts playoffs. 16-8 against the spread.
I think it's better than that. I think he's up to 18-9.
He might be. So the Titans are kind of own the Chiefs though.
Yeah.
In the regular season. Do you remember last year they beat him 27-3?
Yeah, Vrabel as an underdog. 19-7 against the spread.
He's crying with his guys. Yeah. All right, over.
But points.
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 Points, points, points. Are you a little worried if Malik Willis, knowing that he can't throw, or they won't let him throw?
What, they'll give the ball to Derrick Henry and he'll run.
The Chiefs have a very good run defense. I'm just asking
questions.
I know,
questions.
But like... It is Tractor Cito season.
But it is.
So let's say Malik Willis is running the ball a lot.
But okay. Malik Willis is running the ball a lot.
If there's a lot of runs, that's clock.
Right.
So which affects less time for points.
Yes, but the Chiefs might just run it up then.
That's true.
And we hit that over.
Yeah, then we hit that over that way. I like it.
So, but also, Derrick Henry will have fresh legs and Malik Willis is running a lot.
If Kadarius Toney ends up being really, really good for the Chiefs, it's going to piss me off.
There's no chance, though, right? Because, like, we've seen a little bit of Toney, but he's just...
He's so fast. He breaks people off.
But he just doesn't play ball.
But he breaks people off.
He'll get behind you.
He will. And he'll break you off.
He also takes the top off.
Yeah. I'm just saying, that will piss me off. Okay, Jake.
I'm with Billy. 46.5, Sunday Night Football.
Okay, let's do some unders, which are hitting it like an insane, insane clip, and I'm so fucking sick of them.
And the best one of us is in unders is 4-4.
Shit.
Who's that? Crazy.
Big Cat, Hank, and PFT, all 4-4.
Okay. Oh, good.
All right, nice. And they're
so I'm hot.
Unders have been free this year, and we are 4-4.
Yeah, but I'm hot on unders compared to like everything else. Yes. If you look at the rest of my stats.
Okay, Hank.
Under Bears Dolphins.
Oh, he doesn't try to bet against us.
Definitely 45. Not. You just and I know that you just decided that right now because you're fucking blowing bloody snot onto all your other picks. You had no idea. You just heard what we said for over, and you put it in your little Hank filing cabinet.
No,
you locked it away, and you said I'm gonna piss them off.
No, come on, don't make
come
it about
on.
You.
On, okay, you're under Max.
Coincidence.
Such a dick.
We can say Monday night. Monday night football, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Monday night, Ravens Saints under.
Okay. Ooh, Andy Dalton, baby.
Yeah.
48.
Prime time Andy in the dome. You're under, PFT.
My under is Chargers Falcons under 49. I don't think Mariota's going to be throwing too much like he was. He threw more than you would expect last week against the Panthers.
Agreed.
I think that they're going to get back to their just, we're going to run the ball some more. And they're just going to run out of seconds to score, was it 49?
Yeah,
I'm with you on that. It's 49.5.
49.5. 49.5. There aren't going to be enough seconds in this game.
They're going to run out of seconds. Okay, I'm going to take the Patriots Colts under 39.5. I just think this game's going to be gross. First to 17 wins. That's what I'm feeling.
Who you got, Hank? You got Mac Jones again?
Yes, sir.
Oh. Yeah.
How quickly do the boos start for Mac Jones if he throws an interception at home?
I don't know.
I think they start immediately.
I don't know. Bailey Zappi did look bad. Yeah.
I still think that they're once the home crowd gets a taste, once they get like a little bit of blood in the water of booing their starting quarterback.
The Roman Coliseum.
It's tough to switch that back. Yeah. You need Belichick to go out there and do the Joaquin Phoenix and give like a thumbs up, thumbs down.
Yeah.
Maybe they listen to me.
Maybe
I told them to stop.
Yeah, you did tell them to stop.
So
yeah. Listen to Hank.
We should be good.
Stop. And stop saying that Hank puked on the blackjack table. Because he didn't.
Yeah, no, obviously.
Right. Actually. Right. Actually, you did not.
Actually, obviously.
Obviously.
I know.
Right. That's why I said it.
What did the dealer do?
When he
well,
didn't
no,
puke?
He didn't do it.
Yeah, Hank,
dealer did nothing.
Hank, what did the dealer do when you didn't puke?
Listen, if you don't have...
I'm over the pit balls,
if,
right?
If you don't have cash, you can't be at the table. I did not have cash.
Did you tip heavily with that?
After?
When you don't...
I think you missed the part when I said I didn't have any cash.
Mm-hmm.
Therefore,
so,
I wasn't
but would
at
you have tipped if you had cash?
Right, but you have a player's
after you
card.
Puked.
I don't have a player's card.
Would you have tipped after you if you had cash after you puked? Would you have tipped?
Yeah, but I would never puke at a table.
Okay, right.
Did anyone else puke at the table?
I wasn't at a table.
Was there
no table in sight?
There was the no table.
Wait, now you're saying that the table doesn't exist?
Not one iota. There was never a table.
I went to the casino, tried to get cash out. There was a long line, saw Drewski, talked to him, didn't want to wait in the line, disappeared.
He threw up on Drewski.
No, false.
Was anyone on a hot streak and wanted to stay on the table after?
Oh, yeah, that would have sucked if you ruined a hot streak when you puked on the table.
And then, like, fuck the puke, let's keep playing.
All right, wait, Billy, did you do your under?
My under is Seahawks Cardinals, 49.5.
Okay.
I like that.
All right, and... Jake, you had your under?
Yeah, I'm with PFT.
All right, you're with PFT. All right, other games we missed. Raiders-Jaguars, that Ugh. Game. Ugh.
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 God.
Who?
They should pay you to watch this
I
game.
I mean, that is going to be, I guess, whoever wins, we're going to be like, maybe.
No, I don't think so. But, no. I mean, the Raiders, they did have their signature loss last week.
Yeah.
They're probably not going to lose that badly. They might win this game. They might win this game this week, but nothing's going to change. I think the Raiders are still there's still pieces of shit.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't think in my whole lifetime I've seen Raiders Jaguars and it's been like good. Like
together. Yeah, no. That's not a good matchup. The Panthers Bengals, I just love PJ Walker. And then the only stat I had was Joe Burrow is 4-0 against the spread after losing to the Browns, because he always loses to the Browns.
Yep.
So he bounces back.
He's overall 12-3 straight up after a loss.
Yeah, so go with Joe Burrow there. Trust in Joe. I think that's everything. I think we hit it all.
2 4 o'clock games is crazy.
2 4 o'clock games sucks. Hopefully the Phillies have already won the World Series. I was going to say, it'd be nice if we had a World Series game on Sunday night as well. Be a nice little duel. If the game gets shitty, we have something else to watch.
Just for the record, though, Max is not worried.
He's not worried at all.
Very clear.
Don't say that he's worried.
It was basically not even a no-hitter.
Right.
I didn't say that I'm not worried. I said that I'm confident. I don't know what I said.
Verbal meme. Max not worried. Hank puking on the table. Neither thing is real. Shaking
and
hands.
And no-hitter. Wasn't real.
What color was the puke?
I like this because Billy's going with a joke. I like it.
He's really just...
Yeah, the joke.
Keep the joke.
We're all the kidding. Joke. We're all kidding here.
Okay.
Hank, have you stopped puking on tables?
Will you retire from puking on tables?
Listen, I'm an honest guy. If I puked on a table, I'd come clean.
Okay.
You know how I do.
When was the last time you puked on a table?
I don't know. Probably in a bar somewhere.
Yeah. With a casino attached?
No.
Okay, let's do...
You can see, in the video, you can see when he says it, I had a reaction where I was like, oh my God. Like, I believed him for a second, and then I checked my sources, and I talked to people. I was like, I didn't do that, did I?
So he just made that up?
Yeah, he is a comedian, and he is very quick-witted.
Yeah, that was such a funny joke.
Invented it.
Yeah.
Just like, that's totally normal. When I meet somebody for the first time,
well, we met the night before.
I usually say, like, you puked on the table.
Yeah. There was a camera rolling.
As a bit.
PFT.
As a bit.
You know how it is when the camera's rolling.
You sure?
Yeah.
What do you mean?
That's when you get your acting on.
Yeah.
No, I'm acting right now by making fun of Hank for puking on the table because it's obvious that he didn't puke on the table.
Right. I mean, it's not obvious, but I'm just saying, it's not obvious.
I can understand
why people would think that did happen, but thankfully, we have this platform and I'm able to clear my name
once and for all.
Are you looking for relief, relaxation, or to party on the motherfucking moon? Then check out 3Chi's new True Strains lineup of cannabis vapes and gummies tailored for specific effects. And the best part? It's delivered straight to your door. Visit 3chi.com. That's 3chi.com. And for a limited time, get 20% off with the code BARSTOOL20.
Great. Fantasy Fuckboys.
Real quick, before we do Fantasy Fuckboys, Mount Rushmore.
Yeah, no, I said we were going to do it after. Yeah.
Oh, after this?
Yeah, yeah. I said we're going to do both. Yeah, yeah. All right, ready?
Yeah.
Yeah.
What's up, boys?
How we doing? What's up, fucker? What's up, you fuckface?
My stardom.
What's your name?
That
Pukey the Pukerson.
My name's Almond Almondinger.
Oh,
I'm right. AJ's brother.
Hey, what's up, AA?
Hey.
My stardom is smashing your car into a wall and hitting the gas as hard as you can.
Oh, fuck, that's badass. I saw this last weekend.
Handshake. Like a Miles very Garrett. Practical thing to do. If you're on the highway this weekend, just fucking rip it into the wall and smash the gas.
Hell yeah.
Get ahead of the crowd.
Hell yeah.
My situm, Zach Wilson.
Nah, boo.
Short piece of shit.
Boo.
Fucking sucks. Overrated. Can't throw the ball past 10 yards.
He just gives layups
to the defense. Free interceptions.
Listen, our community. We love our mothers very, very deeply, but we don't love other people's mothers.
And my sleeper is breweries.
Breweries.
Interim breweries.
I'm going to Portsmouth, New Hampshire for the first time this weekend. I feel like that's a big brewery.
You wearing a flannel?
There's breweries brewing in Portsmouth.
They like to sip on the syrup up there.
A brewery.
You wearing a flannel to the brewery?
Fuck yeah.
Oh, flannel season.
I'm probably just going to keep the suit on all weekend.
Hell yeah.
Mr. Lumberjack.
All right.
What's up, dickheads?
Hey, what's up? What up, you fuckstick?
This is Rick Pitino.
Ricky!
Recently acquitted Rick Pitino of all charges at Louisville. That's right. Nothing sticks to me. Unless it's my leg.
Yeah.
I'm starting Chicago-style hot dogs. I'm going to eat some Chicago-style hot dogs this weekend. Extra ketchup. That's what ketchup. I'm talking about.
Love it.
Bathing in ketchup. Boiling in ketchup. I'm sitting Cooper Cup. Well, why was he even in the game last week? That made no sense whatsoever. Now the season's fucked. Capiche?
Capiche.
Posh. My sleeper's eggnog. Eggnog has hit the shelves officially yet again. It is eggnog season. I love eggnog. It's a delicious holiday treat. Just don't spill any in your lap. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I think that you were just at an Olive Garden.
I like it. I like them. What's up, fuckers? It's Tony Bologna here.
TB.
My stardom is Mitch Trubisky. I read an article on CBS Sports saying Mitch Trubisky's excelling as being a leader. He's back. Maybe that's his role in the NFL. Fuck yes.
Let's go.
Mitch.
He could be the next Chase Daniel.
Yeah. My sit-em is Mattress Mac. You can't let Philly get to you, Mattress Mac.
Angry guy.
You can't let Philly get to you. Now they know that there's blood in the water. They're going after you. Although, shout out Mattress Mac, because that was just a guy trying to win a bet.
There's a lot of charity.
I respect Mattress Mac. I respect him a little bit more when he uses a Boston Sportsbook.
Yes, absolutely. My sleeper, Zach Wilson. I recently learned that Zach Wilson is just too good for his job.
Very good.
So he's going to do great.
That's a good point. Also, this weekend, he's matched up against Josh Allen.
Yeah.
And I think that the Jets defense could do a good job
heating him up. And I also heard Josh Allen say that he actually threw 3 interceptions against the Patriots his second year. Hey. And then now he's an MVP candidate. So do the math.
Everything's coming up, Zachy boy.
I heard it from a guy. What's up, Fox? It's Salvatore Tesavici.
Oh, what up, Sally?
How we doing? My starter, Dimitri Bivol. He's fighting this weekend, Saturday, 5 o'clock.
That's my boy.
He's my guy. He's fighting in Abu Dhabi against Gilberto Ramirez. I think he's going to take it the distance, win by points. It's in the Barstool Sportsbook, -150 right now.
I heard.
Take it. Free money.
Free money. No, that's free money.
Free money. Free money. Free money.
I heard that. Bivol, he eats a lot of steak.
No, he's a big fan of quesadillas.
Quesadillas.
You went out to a table with him, right?
Did you puke at that table? No, I'm not a puker.
Okay,
all right. I know a guy who's a puker. Yeah. Not me, though. Yeah, you gotta know a guy. Yeah. Not the puke guy here.
Not you.
I know a poop guy, too.
Yeah.
Yo, my sit-em.
Unless you're in Boston on St. Patrick's Day.
Not a puke guy.
Oh, no.
Not a puke guy, just a bystander.
Walk the other way, guy.
Just a bystander.
I ain't see nothing.
I didn't see nothing.
I didn't see nothing.
You know, keep your back to the wall. No sucker punches. Just shimmy around. Anyway, there's video. No video. There's not a video of me avoiding a fight on St. Patrick's Day. For the record, statute of limitations.
Yeah. 6 months.
All right, Sally.
My sit-em, Bill secondary. We talked about this. Zach Wilson, light him up.
I think they're going to heat him up, too.
Heat him up. Sleep him up.
Yeah. No, Bill secondary. They're
sleep with their
up.
Mothers. Yeah. Sleep. Okay, and then my sleeper. My sleeper, Snuggie.
Snuggie.
It's nice to get a Snuggie, end of the day.
What's this, 2007?
Hey, it's a sleeper. That's why it's sleeper.
What are you doing, Beanie Babies next?
Yeah, no, but you're in your Snuggie, you're on the couch, watching football. It's cold. You know the landlord doesn't turn the heat on?
Yeah, maybe,
Snuggie.
Maybe play some Pogs later.
Yeah, Pogs.
Yeah, you don't know what that is.
Yeah, fat ass.
Yeah, that's true.
That's why
good
we go
point.
To the club. Yeah.
And they use
point.
A slam on the fat asses.
Pogs.
Pogs. What are you guys talking? See you guys. I gotta go.
Little things we used to play with, like what were they? Like bottle caps. They're a little bigger.
They called them milk caps. They were just these round pieces of cardboard. And then they were all the rage for like 2 years.
You hit them, and then you have a slammer.
You'd bounce a slammer off them, and if you flipped them over, then you got to keep the other person's pogs.
It's pretty cool game.
I thought you were talking about.
No, yeah.
P-A-W.
Yeah, it's a bonk. Put it on the bonk list.
Yeah.
That's what.
Other pogs.
No, you're being horny.
Yeah, I'm not being horny.
Yeah, no, we were talking
Billy,
about
when PGS. When I say thoughts and prayers, do you think that hoe over there?
Yeah.
No, Salvatore Tesavici was horny.
Yeah,
that
that's true.
Hey,
that's
okay, good point. Yeah.
Are you actually using a Snuggie again?
I have like Snuggies are my favorite things.
Wow. Okay.
I like Snuggies.
Yeah, that is a throwback.
My landlord also hasn't turned on the heat. So
I kind of like that. I like when it's cold.
I do. That's why I get the Snuggie.
Yeah.
It reminds you of like going to a hotel and cranking down
the
AC.
Yeah, that was my take.
Yeah.
Took that take.
Yeah.
That was my take. Just pretend like you're in a hotel.
Yeah.
All right. I'm sorry for taking your take.
That was my take.
He also said Josh Allen might get heat up.
Well, yeah, I did take that take from him.
He took it from me.
Okay, yeah.
You got enough takes.
All right, Mount Rushmore. We lost last week. We got maybe a little ahead of ourselves. We lost a couple ways, though. That Josh Jacobs, the Raiders just couldn't do shit. So let's win. Yeah. Let's win.
I'm guaranteeing that my guy is going to cover.
I also am guaranteeing my guy.
Hank?
Yep.
Guaranteed?
Guarantee.
Billy Jake?
We guarantee.
Okay.
That didn't sound like a very...
I guarantee Jake, you can...
Okay.
You guarantee? Does Jake guarantee?
Yes, it's happening.
Hopefully we don't have the same guys. I'm taking Aaron Jones.
Okay.
Packers, Lions, they got to start running him more. Aaron Jones.
I'm going back to Josh Jacobs. I think it can't happen again. It was a weird sequence of events that made the Raiders get down so much so early.
Yep.
That's not going to happen against the Jaguars. Josh Jacobs is a top five running back in the NFL. They're going to feed him. It's going to be glorious. He's going to put some highlight tapes out there.
Okay.
I'm taking this in the Barstool Sportsbook, where everyone else can bet it if they want to. Exclusive section. That's where all this will be. I'm going with Ramondre Stevenson.
Oh,
against
Patriots.
The Colts. I think it's going to be a slow game. You know, get up to a lead. I think someone said 20-7 earlier. Just
yeah.
Mm-hmm. Get a lead, run the ball. He's been really good this
year. Sit on the rock.
Yeah.
Billy and Jake.
We're going to go with Dalvin Cook. He's gotten 50 yards in all of their wins. His only time getting under is the Philly game in week two.
Okay. All right. So that will be in the Barstool Sportsbook. Let's get back on the winning side under the exclusive sections. Okay. Let's get to Sonny Dykes. Great interview with Sonny Dykes. TCU love. Everyone's been saying we don't give any love to TCU. We got Sonny Dykes on the show.
Whether you're tossing the ball around with buddies or picking off passes like a pro, Optimum Nutrition can help unlock more you. Tackle your recovery with Gold Standard 100% Whey, which has 24 grams of high-quality protein per serving and more than 15 delicious, easy-to-mix flavors. Put the world's number one to the test. Available at stores nationwide and online at OptimumNutrition.com. Euromonitor International Limited. Consumer Health 2023 edition and custom research conducted February to March 2023. Retail sales of whey protein powder in 2022.
And now... here's our good friend, Sonny Dykes.
Okay, we now welcome on a very special guest. It is head coach of TCU, Sonny Dykes, the undefeated Texas Christian Horned Frogs. Coach Dykes, thank you for joining us. I actually want to start. Your fan base has gotten upset at us because we talk college football. We're a lot more NFL, but we talk a lot of college football. They say we haven't been giving you guys enough credit, haven't been bringing you up enough, so we said, hey, let's get the coach on and let's talk some TCU football.
Yeah, we've got a good fan base. I mean, those guys, they get the feelings hurt pretty easily, so that's always good when you have fans that are passionate about that stuff. And yeah, you know how it is. They're going to let you know when they think you're slighting the Horned Frogs.
Yeah, absolutely.
So right off the top, let's just talk about how the season's gone. If you could flash back like 2.5 months ago, and in your wildest dreams, would you think that you were undefeated? Was that ever kind of a goal for you at this point in the season?
You know what's funny is coming out of fall camp, about week three, you know, we sat down as a coaching staff and we said, wow, you know, we think we actually have a chance to have a good football team. You know, what does that mean? I don't really know. You know what I mean? I think that it's my first year in the Big 12. I didn't really know that much about the league. You know, I'd watched it from afar and paid attention a little bit, but I just didn't know how we stacked up with the teams in the league. But we felt like we had a chance. I mean, we really did. We felt like we could score enough points to be in ball games. We had to replace a lot of our D linemen. We had a lot of guys that went to the transfer portal, some guys that graduated early, some guys that moved on. And so we were a little bit decimated on the defensive front. And you know, we needed some guys to come in and to step in and play well, and they have. And Dylan Horton's a senior who's played really well, and George Cooper's played well. Or George Ellis, rather, and Terrell Cooper's played well. And so we've had guys that are older guys that have really come on, and we've had some freshmen that have played well too. And so that's been a big, I think, surprise for us, just really how well that defensive line has come together. And, you know, you're not going to win many football games if you're not good on either side of the line of scrimmage. And, you know, we're good up front on the offensive line. We've really played well on the defensive front. And so it's given us a chance. And then our quarterback play has been outstanding. You know, Max Duggan has done a really great job of managing our football team and making plays. And we've got a lot of speed and a lot of skill on this team. So we felt like we could score, you know, and anytime you can score points, that gives you a chance.
Yeah, I got a couple bones to pick with you, but one of them was the Max Duggan. You know, I follow college football pretty closely, and I remember in August when you said you're going to go with three quarterbacks, and I took you for your word. Would you like to apologize to me? Because that was clearly a lie, because Max is phenomenal, and he's been great this year.
Yeah, well, you know, it's funny. We did play all three quarterbacks in the first game.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's kind of what we thought. You know, look, we came out of fall camp, and Chandler Morris really had won the job. And Max had played a lot of football for TCU, and, you know, Chandler just had such a great fall camp. We got into the first game against Colorado. Struggled a little bit in the first half. Second half starts. Chandler gets injured. We put Max in the game, and Max just picks up where he left off, you know, the year before, and you know, has continued to develop every single week as a quarterback. And that's been really fun to watch him, because he, you know, he was a good quarterback early on, and then I think he became a pretty good quarterback, and then he became a really good quarterback, and I think now he's really developed into a great quarterback, and I think one of the guys that's probably playing as well as anybody in college football right now. And so he is he's done a fantastic job of learning the offense. He's very confident in the guys that are the supporting cast and the guys around him. He hasn't tried to force things. He's taken, you know, what defenses have given him. He's a hell of a runner. You know, he runs the ball well, plays tough, plays physical, and our guys have kind of fed off of that. And so he's just been a real pleasure to coach. I mean, he's just he's a warrior, man. He's got that warrior mentality, and it's permeated our entire program.
Yeah, he's a listener of this show too, so it's good that you said nice things about him there.
Do you have any coaching points you want to maybe he'll pay more attention to you if you're on this show, if you want to speak to him right now and give him any advice for the upcoming games now, he'll listen.
Hey, Max, keep doing what you're doing, man. Keep working hard. Keep doing what you're doing. And don't listen to all the good stuff. You ignored the bad stuff. Now ignore the good stuff, too.
Yeah. Just be like, yeah, you suck, Max. Stop listening to part of my take. Go back in your playbook.
Do you want us to tell him that he stinks and build a chip on his shoulder?
No. Don't tell him that. No, okay. Don't tell him that. Because he's going to know that's not the truth.
Okay. All right. That's fair. So, you mentioned there a point about how you guys came out slow against Colorado. You've had a few games where you've come out a little slow, and it feels like there's something about your team this year. You're never out of it. What, as a coach, though, like, where's the line where you're playing with fire versus you love that your guys never quit and can always come back? Because, I mean, if you just keep starting slow, like that Oklahoma State game was incredible. You've had a couple of those games where it's like, oh, TCU's in real trouble here, and then, you know, you flip the entire game on its head.
Yeah, I mean, look, at some point, we got to quit doing that. I mean, it's going to bite us in the rear end if we don't stop. You know, 2 weeks in a row, we got down 17. I think the Oklahoma State got down 18 to Kansas State. I mean, that's two good football teams, and we were able to rally the second half. We held Oklahoma State to 6 points in regulation the second half. That's a high-powered offense, and then we shut Kansas State out in the second half. And so our defense has really played well in the second half of football games, and I think it's a tribute to our players, man. They get stronger as the game goes along. And, you know, Joe Gillespie, our defensive coordinator, has done a great job of making adjustments at halftime, figuring out what people are doing to us. And our players have done a nice job of making those adjustments. And, you know, and we just keep swinging. I think that's been the thing that we've done is, you know, we just keep our head down. We haven't panicked. We just keep swinging. And that, you know, that comes from being confident. And it comes from the hard work you put in and a belief in each other. And I think our offense believes in our defense. Our defense believes in our offense. They believe in special teams. The players, I think, believe in each other. They believe in the coaches. I know as coaches, we certainly believe in them. And so it's been, man, it's been fun. Now, as you said, we got to stop it. I mean, there's going to be a time that you know, we're not going to be able to do that in the second half. And so we're certainly going to have to get off to better starts than we have.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
At the end of the last game, that was that caused a lot of controversy in this office. I don't know if you paid that much attention to it. I know Big Cat was...
Well, yeah, that's the second bone to pick I had with you. We can't You can't talk gambling spreads, but I would like to just maybe go back to that spot against West Virginia. And you know that you could have, like, on a free play, the game's over. You don't have to throw a touchdown with 20 seconds left. I would have preferred if you didn't.
The guy was offsides, too.
Yeah. Like, well, yeah. It was free play. Yeah.
Yeah. I certainly understand it. So here is our thinking going into the play. Okay. So it's 4th and 1. We're trying to, you know, as you said, run the clock out.
Mm-hmm. Well, a field goal would have been fine, by the way. Again, we're not going to talk numbers, but I would have, field goal would have been smart.
You don't want to kick a field goal in that situation because, a lot of stuff can go wrong there.
Okay.
So we're 4th and 1. We're on about their 30, I think 31, actually. And so a couple of things were going on. Number one, we had all 3 timeouts. So we got in a formation. We wanted to see, okay, how are they going to defend this formation? And then the second thing was we were going to try to draw them off sides. Well, when you try to draw somebody off sides and they're off sides, the center snaps the ball. All the receivers run 4 verticals, and the quarterback throws it up because it's a free play. And so I don't think any of us anticipated any of that happening. Well, they did jump, which we honestly, I didn't expect them to. I didn't think they would. We were going to call a timeout, and now we were going to call a play, run the ball, and then hopefully get the first down, take a knee, and be out of there. But when they jumped, they snapped it, and you got to give Max credit. He made a heck of a throw to Savion Williams. He made a heck of a catch, and there we go.
But do we have to give Max credit? Because he should just fall down in that situation and not risk an injury. Yeah, I'm smart.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah. Hey,
yeah, you guys can pick that bone with Max.
Okay, all right.
He did exactly what I told him to do.
Yeah, that play hurt. I'm going to tell you right now, that play hurt. Again, we won't talk spreads, but that play hurt.
A lot of people.
Yeah, it hurt a lot of people.
A lot of people. Do you want to apologize to anyone?
I'm sorry about that.
Yeah, because okay, you would have won the game anyway. So the other weird quirk that's happened in your season, I know you guys, this isn't by design, but you've had a string where the starting quarterback has gone out for the opposing team like 4 or 5 games in a row. Is this something that, Do you put it up on the whiteboard before being like, look, we're not going to game plan it for it, but it keeps happening, so we might as well take a look at the backup.
Yeah, you know, it's weird. So we had that against Oklahoma, and, you know, Dylan Gabriel got knocked out of the game. And we had a late hit on Dylan Gabriel, which we got penalized for, and we should have. I mean, it was a late hit, so he missed the second part of that game. Now, I think it was 34-10 when he went out of the game, and he felt like we were – in control. Then I think after that, I know we went into the Oklahoma State game. We felt like their quarterback was a little bit banged up. We played Kansas.
Kansas, so we quarterback. Played Kansas. Yeah.
And then same thing. Jalen Daniels, a heck of a player. He got hurt in that game. So we had to face a backup quarterback who actually came in and played really well.
He did.
And then we played Spencer Sanders against Oklahoma State. I think he was a little banged up coming into the game, but he played the whole game.
Yeah.
Well, then we go into the Kansas State game, and Adrian Martinez is playing lights out. And, you know, he goes in the game, and we tackle Adrian. There's nobody hit him hard, anything. We came to the conclusion, and again, we don't know this, but we thought he was probably hurt the week before and might have re-injured himself in our game because there was really not much of a hit that took place. And then they put the backup in, and he played lights out, and he's the guy that led him to a victory against Oklahoma State last week. So, you know, the one thing that we know we can say for sure is that there's a lot of good backup quarterbacks in the Big 12.
Yeah,
guys have come in and they played well. But we've also kind of had a weird set of circumstances that have occurred kind of leading up to that.
It's genius just to run the play where the other quarterback has to get out of the game. It's more teams should think of not again, you guys have not done anything besides the Dylan Gabriel one, which you got penalized for, but it's like, okay, the ball's just bouncing our way right now. Ride it out. That's kind of fun.
Yeah. Yeah, look, hey, I mean, when you pick 7th in your league and you're 8-0 and ranked 7th in the country, you got to catch some breaks.
Yeah.
You know? And I think we certainly have. I mean, like, look, let's don't kid ourselves. Now, we've played really good football, and I think we have a good football team. But, you know, to get on the kind of run that we're on right now, you do have to catch a couple of breaks, and we certainly have so far this year.
Yeah, hey, I'm not taking anything away from you guys because you have had a phenomenal season.
It's just interesting.
Yeah.
It's just like an interesting string of coincidences.
So
I get it.
As a football coach in Texas, one of the things that you have to deal with a lot is the recruiting process and dealing with the high school football coaches down there. And there's some legendary high school football coaches, and having those relationships with them is probably the biggest factor in being able to sustain a college program in the state. So how do you deal with some of the coaches who are legends in their own rights, being able to build those relationships with them in order to make sure that you can get some of the good players that are grown in state there?
Yeah. You know, as you said earlier, Texas is unique that way. I think that, you know, the coaching profession in the high schools here is taken very seriously. I mean, these guys are very, very, very good coaches. And a lot of them have moved on and become really successful, you know, college coaches. And, you know, I started out as a high school coach in Texas myself, spent basically 2 years, 1 year at Monahans High School, a little small town in West Texas, and another year at Pierce High School in Richardson in the Dallas area. And so I've been in DFW for a long time, been recruited here when I was coaching at Navarro Junior College, when I coached at the University of Kentucky, when I was at Texas Tech, when I was at Arizona, kind of working my way up. I've always recruited Dallas. I think the high school coaches in Texas are it's a strong group. I mean, it really is. There's not many organizations more powerful than the Texas High School Coaches Association. I mean, those guys are united. They take the profession very seriously. They do a great job coaching these young men, and they put a lot of guys in college football and provide a lot of young people with opportunities to get a scholarship and continue playing football. And it's a great place to recruit. I mean, I really believe DFW, you know, has as good a high school facilities as any place in the country. I mean, you drive around, you see these stadiums. I mean, they're unbelievable. They take it very seriously. There's a huge commitment from communities. There's an emphasis on it in youth football. So it's just a great place to have a chance to recruit. And as you said, I mean, it's all about the relationships. It's all about those guys being able to trust you and that you're going to take care of the young men that you're recruiting from their schools.
Yeah, I'm a firm believer that innovations in football start at the high school level, and then they trickle their way up through college, and then from there to the NFL after they've been, you know, proven to be successful in college. So what in your mind is the next big wrinkle that's coming in terms of football innovation from the high school level?
Yeah, that's a good question. I mean, I think you're exactly right. I think most people think it goes down, you know, it kind of starts at the top and it works its way down, which is not the case at all. I mean, as you said, you know, I worked for some really innovative guys, Hal Mummy at Kentucky, and I was Mike Leach's GA at Kentucky, and those guys were outside the box thinkers. And Hal had been a high school coach in Texas and started running the air raid really when he was in high school. And then I worked on the staff at Texas Tech with Art Briles. Art Briles was our running back coach, and he kind of, when he became the head coach at Houston and Baylor, he took what he was running at Stephenville High School and started running it. And you know, really, in a lot of ways, those two offenses have changed football. If you watch Tennessee and what they're doing right now and the success that they're having, a lot of that stuff they're doing is stuff that Art Briles did, you know, at Stephenville High School. And so it's been as you said, it's kind of worked its way up. I think Mike Leach and Hal Mummy have had a huge impact on what's happening now in the NFL. And a lot of offenses that are being run at that level. You know, I don't know what's next. To me, I think that football is a little cyclical. I think that you're going to start maybe seeing some teams start to run a little bit more triple option. You know, yes. I think that's something that you're going to see is maybe a little bit of triple option get integrated in some of the spread things. You know, a little bit of veer concept as a run game into a spread type of offense and a spread system. And you know, that's, you talk about a pain in the rear end defensively. Yeah. That would be a tough thing to defend.
Yeah.
Yeah. We love the triple option here.
I'm a big triple option fan. So you have been around some incredible football minds, some friends of ours too, but I did want to reference Hal Mummy. I mean, legendary coach, the towel, everything. When you got with him, we're like those meetings where he's like, yeah, we're just going to throw it. We're just going to throw it and we're going to throw it and we're going to throw it and they're not going to be able to stop it. Like, is that, could you feel the change? Because obviously now a lot of teams do the air raid, but Hal Mummy was one of the founders of it. Was it eye-opening to be like, wow, we can play football this way?
Yeah. You know, it's funny. I was a young coach at the time. I hadn't been exposed to a whole lot. I'd been 2 years at Navarro Junior College, where we were kind of one back, almost a little run and shoot style. So we were pretty innovative. And then I go to Kentucky and I sit in these meetings and I hear Howell talk and I'm like, this dude has lost his mind. You know, there's no way, there's no way we're going to do this stuff in the SEC and not get just pounded every week. And, you know, we had a very small menu of plays. It was all about execution, you know, and the one thing Hal used to say all the time, and it was really pretty funny. I remember at the time thinking, man, this is crazy, but it's really smart. He would say, look, we're going to throw the ball as many times as possible to people who can score, and we're going to spread the field and not only spread it vertically, but horizontally. We're going to try to make a defense cover the entire length and width of a football field. And so when you sat down and you start looking at his concepts, you kind of started going, wow, this, in a weird sort of way, this is triple option football. But instead of handing the ball off and reading a down lineman, you're throwing the ball and you're reading a second level player, whether it's a linebacker or a safety. And if this guy does that, then you do this. And so it was kind of came out of the same principles as triple option, but it was really throwing the ball. And it was, instead of reading guys on the line of scrimmage, it was reading second and third level players.
Yeah.
So it made a lot of sense. It worked incredibly well. You know, Hal had a ton of success at Kentucky, and it was fun to be part of, you know, changing college football and really changing football in general. And I was fortunate enough to go with Mike Leach to Texas Tech in 2000, and we took that offense and even made it a little bit more extreme. You know, Mike was Hal played with two backs a lot. Hal played with the tight end some, and Mike just said, hey, look, let's spread everybody out, four wides and one back and enroll. And so it was a fun thing to be a part of, really innovative, had a lot of really bright coaches on our staff. I mean, you look at the guys, you know, Cliff Kingsbury was a quarterback. Graham Harrell was a quarterback. Sonny Cumbie was a quarterback. Lincoln Riley was a walk-on quarterback that became a student coach. You know, Art Briles was on the staff. Dana Holgerson was on the staff. I was on the staff. Dave Aranda was a GA on the staff. Ruffin McNeil went on to become the head coach a bunch of different places, was on that staff. And so we had these guys that were, you know, pretty smart guys that were innovative, and we got to learn a lot of it from Mike. And we got to also learn the thing that Mike did better than anybody was to, hey, don't be scared, man. Let's just play. Let's do what we do. Let's have a philosophy. Let's jump in completely with it. We're burning the boats. This is what we're going to do. And let's make it work.
And
we did. And
yeah,
got to give those guys credit.
Yeah. It's great staff, crazy names. We are good friends with Coach Dana. We actually stayed at his house, not a brag, just a fact. How many times during those years would Dana be like, come on, Sonny, one more. Like, we got to stay out till it's only 2 o'clock. Like, we got to stay out. Because we've had a couple of those late nights with Dana. He's the best.
Yeah, no, I've had my share of late nights with Dana, for sure, and with Mike Leach and that group. I mean, I'll tell you this, we worked hard, but we also played hard. We had fun. It was a blast to be around those guys. I mean, just really special guys, and we had a great time. In those days at Texas Tech, people would come visit us all the time, and they would leave after 2 or 3 days. They'd be like, man, I don't see how you guys do this.
Yeah.
Because we ran pretty hard, and we had a good time, and it was a lot of fun.
Yeah, we've heard some of the stories about you know, some of the sneaky stuff that you guys would try to pull at Texas Tech in terms of, I don't know, leaving out like a fake script to your first 10 plays of the game, things like that, so that the other team would find it conveniently. Were you ever put in charge of any of these covert operations?
Yeah, actually, I was the fake script guy for a number of years, and Dana and I conspired together on that stuff, and I was the only one that could type, so I was the typist in the group, so I was always responsible for typing up the scripts and the wristbands and all that. So yeah, Dana and I would go have a soda pop on Thursday night and sometimes come up with the fake script that we left for the opposing team on Saturday.
Where would you leave it? Would you just leave it in the locker room or?
Nah, so what we did, and this was Leach's idea, we would put it, so, you know, when your team goes down, your field goal kickers kick on the opposing side's field. So they're kicking field goals on that side. And so they have a big ball bag, and we would put the script under the ball bag so that when those guys were done kicking, they'd pick up the ball bag and that script would just be sitting there. And then we would stand back and watch. And, you know, and somebody would walk over and pick the script up and they would look at it. And, you know, and we got to just sit back and watch. And most people were smart enough to know that, hey, look, these guys are just screwing with us. We're not going to pay attention to this. But there were a couple of times we walked in the locker room after the game, and they had all this script written up, and they were trying to figure out what in the world this stuff meant.
Oh, that's incredible.
Would you guys ever, like name certain plays on there? Like, would you include little, like, hidden messages in your fake plays that you were drawing?
Yeah, up? I remember one year we were playing Texas A&M, and Dennis Franchione was the head coach. And I remember it was like, you know, one of the deals was out of this formation, it was, okay, double reverse, Coach Fran special.
That's so awesome.
So we left that special for the Ags.
That's great.
And then you pay attention the first couple plays and see, like, okay, I think that they're following the fake script that they think that we're running.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Two or three plays in, they knew it was a waste of time.
That's incredible. The other one I wanted to, there's two other guys that you've come across, coached. The first is Gronk at Arizona. Like, when you first saw him, were you just like, holy shit, this guy? Because he is a freak, and we've had, you know, we've been friends with him for a while and had him on, and even when he walks in the room, you're like, how does anyone cover this guy? Like, his hands are so big, he's a monster, he's fast. Did you have that same wow?
Yeah, I'll tell you a funny story. So I get hired at Arizona the day I got hired. I mean, I flew from Lubbock to Tucson. I signed my contract, and then me and Mike Stoops get on a plane, and we fly to Pittsburgh. And, you know, Rob's originally from Buffalo. Before his senior year, he and his dad, Gordy, moved to Pittsburgh. So we fly to Pittsburgh. We go to, you know, Stoops is telling me this tight end, how good he is, you know, all this stuff about him. I watched a little high school film, thought he looked really good. So they're in this high-rise apartment. So we go to this apartment. We get to the floor. We get off the elevator. We go in the house. You know, Gordy answers the door. His dad's awesome, just super guy. And so and really cool and fun and great guy to hang out with. And so we go, Gordy's there, and then, you know, Rob walks in the door, and you're just like, holy cow, this guy's in high school. So they invite us in. Well, they got a TV there sitting on the wall, and then over to the left is a bench press, and then over there next to that's a squat rack, and then there's a leg press machine, and then there's, you know, and so literally their entire living room is like weightlifting equipment with a TV. And so me and Stoops are doing this home visit. You know, I'm on the leg press machine, you know, sitting there. Mike is laying on the bench press. Rob's on the ground, and Gordy's, you know, sitting on the squat rack, you know, and we're doing this home visit in their house. And that's when I thought, you know what, this kid's pretty special, and turned out to be a hell of a football player, obviously.
Yeah.
Yeah, I imagine that as a coach for him, you figure out a way to get the ball in his hands any way possible, because if he has it, he's just impossible to tackle.
Yeah. Yeah. He's just a unique guy. I mean, a couple things about him. Number one, you know, he actually is as much fun as his persona. I mean, the guy just is the like most fun person in the world to be around. Huge personality, you know, partied hard. But one thing he did, now when he showed up for practice, man, it was blood and guts every day. I mean, he loved to play football. He was very serious about his approach to the game. You know, unbelievably uniquely talented, was athletic enough to play. We used to split him out. You know, we'd go 3-by-1 and put him out there by himself. And basically we had a whole offense. Really, it was, you know, if they had two people on him, then we ran the ball or did something else. If they only had one person on him, then we signaled these routes. And, you know, he was just the most dominant college football player that I'd ever been around. He only played in 18 college football games. You know, he had a couple of injuries, got mono one year, and then didn't get to play his junior year at all because he blew his back out in the weight room. And so, you know, it was crazy. I remember thinking, you know, he's going to go to some NFL team. If he can stay healthy, he's going to have a hell of a career. And he even surpassed my expectations.
It's actually smart. Best tight end ever. It's smart that Gronk got mono in college before he made it to the NFL. It's like getting chicken pox early on. How did he break that news to you? Was he laughing? He's like, Coach, I kissed a girl.
Yeah. I think there were a couple of girls on the Arizona campus that Rob might have kissed during the day.
And then the other one was, we're good friends with Jared Goff, and you coached him at Cal. Like, the connections we have with you are insane. When did you realize, like, oh, Jared's like, this is an NFL player. This is a first-round pick here.
Yeah, you know, I think – so Jared – I mean, we were terrible. When I got to Cal, we recruited Jared. We played him as a true freshman. And, man, we threw him to the wolves. I mean, we were not very good. He was going to kind of be the future of our program. And I remember we played Ohio State, I believe, game three, and he got hit about 25 times in that game. And I remember him standing in the pocket and throwing a bunch of strikes and just getting destroyed by a bunch of really good football players. So Joey Bosa, I think, was a young player at the time at Ohio State, and they got well acquainted. Those two did that Saturday. And I remember, you know, walking off the field that day, and we got our tail kicked pretty good. But I just remember thinking, man, this kid's special. You know, this kid never blinked. This is a tough guy. I mean, he was skinny, didn't look like a college football player. But I just remember how tough he was, how mentally tough he was, how physically tough he was, and just how resilient he was, you know? And I think that's why he's had so much success. You know, he's bounced around a little bit. Now he's in Detroit, but the guy's just incredibly resilient, incredibly smart. He's just one of those people, man, he makes people around him better. And I love Jared, got a great family. Usually see him in the off season a little bit, in Cabo from time to time, and really enjoy him. I just think he's a great guy and a hell of a football player.
Yeah, he really is. And I'm looking at that game right now, and he did take some hits. And he still threw for like 350.
He did, yeah. Yeah, and like I said, we weren't very good. And he hung in there and was dealing balls to guys. And that's when I remember walking off that field going, man, I think this guy's going to be special. And he just got better literally every single day. You know, just kept getting better and better and better, and you know, ended up being the first pick. Came out after his junior year.
Yeah, yeah. I want to just clear something up. You do not have a degree in nuclear engineering, correct?
No, no, no. Somebody, my guess is my wife put that on my Wikipedia. It's close to nuclear engineering. It's history.
Okay.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. That's there's some overlap there, I guess. Yeah.
Definitely.
Yeah. We studied some nuclear submarines maybe when I was taking a history class, but that's about as close to nuclear as anything as I've ever been.
The funny thing is I could see Mike Leach hiring a guy that was a nuclear engineer because he would think that type of mind would work in a football environment.
Yeah, but it wasn't me. I definitely wasn't the guy. Maybe Dana.
Dana, oh man.
God help
us.
Think
about Dana with some nuclear codes.
Yeah, okay, so let's pretend that me and Big Cat were a couple stud wide receivers grown up in, let's say, Dripping Springs, Texas. And Dana, you know that Dana just got out of our living room earlier today to recruit us down to Houston. You come in, how do you recruit us away from Dana? Because we had a great time with Dana.
Yeah. You're probably not going to have as much fun with me as you had with Dana, but we might actually talk football.
Okay. I think you're going to get one of us. Yeah, you probably get one of us. The other one will go to Dana.
Yeah, exactly. No, exactly. Yeah. Yeah, Dana, man, I love Dana. Dana's one of a kind. You know, it's like I said, when you go back, you look at that coaching staff. We had some great coaches and some fun guys and had some good times together.
Yeah. So, Coach, this has been fantastic. I had one last question.
No joke, I think I might have a cane sauce problem. I was at Raising Cane's the other day getting my box combo with extra sauce on the side like usual. I have an order. When I eat my Cane's, it goes crinkle cut fries, chicken fingers, the Texas toast, and finish strong with the slaw. So I start eating, and before I know it, I'm scraping the bottom of my sauce, and I wasn't even done with my fries yet. This habit is escalating, and I'm 100% here for it. Dip into Cane's. Get extra sauce for me, please.
I want to talk my last question about your dad, who has passed away a few years ago, but he was a coach. First of all, legendary name, Spike Dykes. I mean, that alone is just Hall of Fame. I know it's a nickname, but that's Hall of Fame. But I read the story that you knew that you weren't going to be a college football player, so you decided to play baseball so that he wasn't put in a tough situation. Is that true?
Yeah. I mean, look, I was going to have to be a walk-on player. I was a lousy player. And so I was going to have to like walk on, and I really kind of wanted to stay close to home. My dad at that time was not in great health. And so I thought, you know, I'd like to try to spend as much time with him as I could and be around. And so walked on to the baseball team. Larry Hayes had a really good baseball program at Texas Tech at the time, and got to hang around the baseball program and learn some stuff, but it was great. You know, the last thing in the world I wanted to do was go walk on and, you know, cause all those issues with my dad. You know what I'm saying? It's bad enough. It's hard enough to be a coach. I have a 6-year-old son. I can assure you there's not a chance in hell that I'm coaching, no matter what.
But it's rare. So, I mean, it's rare because a lot of guys, you know, we make jokes about the coach's son, and it's like, hey, why is that guy out there? It's like, well, he's the coach's son. That's a rare moment to be like, I'm going to I'm going to take myself out of this situation for my dad.
Yeah, I mean, look, it's hard enough. It's hard. It's a hard enough job as it is to not have your son, who, by the way, stinks as a player, you know. So yeah, I plus my dad and I are a lot alike, and you know, we were like oil together. I mean, it wasn't good, you know, oil and water, and we just didn't mix particularly well in that situation. So it was good for both of us.
That's a commendable thing.
And
yeah.
I mean, the name Sonny Dykes is a great football guy name.
Yeah.
How do you get the nickname Sonny? I feel like there aren't too many of those around anymore.
Yeah, you know, it's actually one of my dad's best friends, a guy named Sonny Everett, that they knew each other forever, and so named me after one of his good friends.
Yeah, I love it. Oh, one last question. You you made your entrance to TCU in a helicopter. You think that was a little much? I mean, it was badass. But when who was that? Was that your idea or their idea?
Certainly no, it certainly wasn't my idea. yeah, you know, they just thought it would kind of be cool. I guess because I was coming from Dallas, you know, and if I was coming from someplace else, they couldn't use a helicopter really. And so I guess that was the thing. Look, my kids loved it. You know, it was really cool for my kids. It's the only time they've been in a helicopter, and it was kind of a cool way to do things. But yeah, it wouldn't have been my first choice, I can assure you.
It was a flashy way to come, and it was announcing your entrance in a big, big way. So, and it's been incredible season, and best of luck going forward.
Yeah, last thing. When you got into your office, were there still a bunch of vests hanging around from the guy that was there before? You have to make a decision. Like, you can't be a vest guy, right? Because the old vest guy just left.
Yeah, yeah. No visors, no vests. You know, you got to be your own man. You know how it is.
Yeah.
No visors, no vests.
I like that.
Plus, I'm going bald anyway, so if I'm going to wear a hat, I might as well cover that up.
Smart. You got some good hair. That actually, if Dana listens to this, that will probably be the one thing he gets mad about, is that you just said you're going bald when his hair is hanging on.
Yeah, no, I mean, Dana's hair, you could do a whole podcast on Dana's hair alone. Yes. I mean, that's like an hour conversation right there.
All right, well, Coach, thank you so much. We appreciate it, and best of luck the rest of the season.
Hey, when you guys get to DFW, man, y'all hit me up. If you don't stay at my house, it's going to hurt my feelings.
Yeah, all right, done, deal.
All right, y'all take care, man. Appreciate you.
Take care, Coach. Thanks.
Okay, let's wrap up the show. Thank you to Sonny Dykes.
As the official golf cart of the Barstool Classic, Easy Go golf carts are built to perform. Built to outlast. Four. And built for a smooth ride, even in the deepest rough. Whether you're on the course or out on the town, with Easy Go, it's good to go. For a limited time, request a quote with code BARSTOOL to get $1,000 off a new 2024 golf cart at EasyGo.com. One more time, that's $1,000 off with code BARSTOOL at EasyGo.com when you request a quote.
Hank, Firefest.
I got a couple. I mean, one of them is Big Cat just guaranteeing the trampoline thing. That's still getting figured out, but I think it'll happen.
Oh, no, I guarantee it.
Yeah, that was a bit of a fire fest.
That's kind of what I can guarantee it. You guys figure it out.
Yeah.
Right. So figure it out.
What's your other fire fest that you didn't puke on a table?
You guys, you and Billy are just smashing these jokes in the ground today. I have one from earlier. I just missed my alarm. I sleep with the Fan app. Me and Big Cat are big Fan app proponents.
Yep.
And there's an alarm on that, and usually I set my alarm so the fan turns off, and I set that so it turns off like 20 or 30 minutes before my actual alarm goes off, because sometimes I'll wake up and I'll be once I don't hear the fan, I'm like, oh, you know, my alarm's about to go off in 20 minutes. I woke up on...
Wait, I'm confused. So the Fan app stays on all night long?
Yeah.
And then, but it turns off 20 minutes before your alarm wakes you up.
Yes.
And what's the reason for that?
Just because sometimes I'll wake up once the Fan app turning off will wake me up.
Yeah.
Oh, it's a soft wake up.
Yeah. Then I'm like, okay. And then I'm like, it's whatever time my alarm's about to go off. I woke up on Tuesday well refreshed. Like, I went to sleep late. You know, I was probably looking at like 7 hours of sleep. Woke up, you know, feeling great, open my eyes. I'm like, oh, my fan, you know, the fan's off, so it must be time to get up. And then I checked my phone, and it was like 10:30. I was supposed to be in meetings and stuff, so that was bad. I had to just, you know, do the thing where I just sprinted to the train without even, like, putting anything on. Just that was not fun. I set my alarm for 8:30
The worst, it ruins, like, multiple days because you just spend the rest of the day just being stressed that you were late.
And then setting, you know, obviously, like, when you're living alone, like, setting the alarm the next night, it's like, well, this didn't work last night. Yeah. Like, fuck. Yeah. How can I guarantee that I'm going to actually wake up tomorrow? So that was a bit of a fire fest. And then I'm wearing this part of my cheesesteak fire suit. Wanted to get your, you know, cringe slash ratio opinions. Like, what if I just wore this for the rest of the day?
I like it.
To the airport or to the event.
I like it.
Yeah.
Yes. I like it. Do it.
I think it looks great on you, Hank.
Yeah. People be like, good luck in the race.
Big Kid, I heard a little rumor about Hank. Hank, don't listen to this because I'm not sure if the rumor's true yet. I was walking past our boss Erica's office the other day, and I just poked my head in to say hi. Our friend Gaz was in there.
Okay,
he was
Bald Head Paul,
and he was working on some sort of document. And he was like, "Hey, PFT, do you have any million-dollar ideas? Because we're about to do a company offsite with the executive committee of Barstool Sports, and I'm wondering if you have anything you can contribute." And I was like, "Well, yeah," and I gave him an idea right off the top of my head. I won't tell it because someone will steal it. And I was like, "It's kind of weird that I must have missed the invite on this offsite big planning committee." And he said, "Well, you can just tell Hank if you have any ideas because he's coming."
Mm.
So Hank is apparently a member of the executive team.
He is.
Of the company, and he's getting invited to all the offsites.
How's that offsite going to go?
Okay, Hank, you can start listening again. I'm done talking.
So you guys knew this.
Meh.
I didn't know it.
I think I knew it.
Well, although, I think the... What do you think when I, you know, turn into corporate Hank? Like, what...
It is a great storyline, you'd be in corporate Hank.
I mean, it's all the sea levels.
Corporate Kane all over again. Just walking
Gaz
around.
Gaz isn't sea level.
He isn't? You're his boss, too?
No, I'm not sea level either.
He lives in Miami.
Wait, so what are the... Are you going to crush it at this meeting?
I mean, when it comes to ideas, I can rattle off ideas till the night, till the lights
Tuesday.
Come on.
What,
but...
What metrics do...
Whether
what
anything
KPIs
will actually happen
do we have
from
to
that.
Hit for you?
What do you mean?
What KPIs are going to be discussed?
I honestly don't even know KPIs.
Yeah, I don't either.
For youthful listeners, what's an offsite?
Well, it's where they just literally just spend money to go stay somewhere. Like, they go down the street and they just get breakfast delivered.
It's like a brainstorming meeting just at
a
different location.
Slightly different location.
For all the really important people.
It really was just right down the street. It was a hotel lobby. They just do it so they can get, like, all the croissants and the fucking... for fresh fruit delivered and be like, wow, we're really crushing it, guys. That's an offsite.
Is this a sleepaway offsite that you're going to be going to?
Trust Falls?
No.
Are you going to be doing zip lining?
I'll be here Tuesday. It's Tuesday morning. I can report Tuesday night.
An escape room?
Great. All
keep
right.
the table clean.
Yeah. PFT, your Firefest.
Good one, Billy. My Firefest is, I had forgotten about this until last week when I was reminded. I unretired myself from playing rugby, and next Saturday I have a rugby game that I'm going to be playing in down at JMU.
Oh no.
Against whatever, I think we play against the JV team. And I said that I had retired after last year because I was able to play like 30 minutes with no injuries. And I, at some point I decided to unretire that I don't remember. I might have been under the influence of something and was talked into doing it. So I committed to doing this. So I will be hopefully coming back in one piece next Sunday after the alumni game. Hopefully no bumps, no bruises, no broken bones.
Damn.
I feel like talking you into one of these is the easiest thing in the world.
Yeah. I said no the first time, and then they kept at it, and they're like, yo, all these other guys are going back, and I was like, fine, fuck it, I'll do it. So, yeah, it should be fun.
You're playing the JV team?
Yeah, well, it's like a combination of their B-side and a couple guys from their A side. They always play against the alumni because it's always on a weekend where our A side has a game scheduled. Like last year, I think we beat Delaware that weekend. So we play our game, and then afterwards is the main game. So, yeah. I haven't been running. I haven't been doing any exercise. I've been lifting weights, so I'm going into this like completely unprepared.
You got this. You're a beast, dude.
I'm a beast.
You're a beast. You're a beast. I have a reverse Firefest for us. I thought I'd share this story. Buffalo Joe's. It's in Evanston, just north of Chicago. Great wing place. Awesome wing place. You guys are going to love it. They hit me up. The guy hit me up because one of his good friends was in the ICU in a medically induced paralysis, that sounds very serious. But he said this AWL, Matt is his name. Shout out, Matt. I think he's doing better. But when he woke up, he asked to listen to part of my take. So I thought that was something I wanted to share with you guys. One of those stories that's like, Fuck. It's awesome. I love it. That people, you know, we mean a lot to people and we kind of forget that sometimes. So shout out Matt. Shout out Buff Joe's. And yeah, that's, I mean, you could have probably asked for some water first.
Yeah.
But I'm cool with you just asking to listen to part of my take.
Yeah, that rocks.
Yeah.
I would have asked for like Thunderstruck right as I wake up and then have that maybe lead into a podcast. But very cool.
So yeah, reverse Firefest. Also, my other real Firefest is I'm trying to wear flannels again, and PFD said, are you doing a Kirk Cousins costume on Monday? And it hurt my feelings.
I actually, yeah, I walked into the office. If you look at the video from the show that we just put out,
it hurt a lot.
I actually thought that Big Cat was wearing Kirk Cousins costume.
He was like, oh,
I thought it was a bit
because it was Halloween, and that, yeah, it hurt, but that's okay. I don't know why I went away from flannels for so long because they are so comfortable. I'm back on flannels. All the way.
Yeah. I was like, wait, is that Kirk Cousins? You're like, no,
I'm wearing a flannel.
I'm trying to get back into flannel.
Yeah. I am. I'm getting heavily invested in flannels again.
It was a big time, like, Kohl's Cash-esque flannel Kirk Cousins style that you wore on Monday.
Listen,
it looks good.
It's going to be a transition to being back to wearing buttons.
You guys wearing collars always throws.
Yeah, no, I understand. Like, I understand that I used to say it about PFT, but then I just became a mirror image of him where it's like, just never put on a collar, always wear sweatshirts. And free t-shirts were given. So I just, flannels are so comfortable. Why don't I wear them more? That's what my, it has nothing to do with look. They're just comfortable. So I was like, fuck it. I'm going to go out, buy a few flannels. I'm going to go back into flannels. Billy, you like it.
I love flannels. Yeah. I try to rock as much part of my take gear as I can. When
company
in the office.
Man.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Just so like,
thank you, Billy.
Like these
thank you for
blue mountains that are coming out soon, maybe Black Friday. I'm just going to hint them.
Those
these
are, hats, that's a sick shirt.
Pretty awesome.
Yeah.
These hats I rock flannels on weekends.
Yeah.
And my Firefest is, try not to complain about too many things these days.
You're doing awesome.
Yeah.
Wait, so that's your Firefest?
As Firefest as he doesn't want to be negative.
Right. But.
You don't have a Firefest.
My favorite.
We lost our basketball game and Billy.
I didn't lose.
We. I said we.
Whoa. Okay. Now we got something.
I didn't want to make it two basketball games in a row on Firefest. But really, there's an alleyway that goes between a city block that from the train station to the office that cuts down the walk from the train station to the office.
It's about to be a great, great excuse coming up.
By like, it makes it like literally 2 minutes, but then you have to go around the city block if you don't use it. And it's just, it's a gauntlet, total war zone.
Oh.
Yeah.
What happened in the basketball game?
I fouled with a minute left.
Oh!
Got free throws.
Was it a bad foul?
No.
Were you reaching?
This is what happened. We were down. We were pressing to tie the game back
up. You guys
up.
Run a press?
Yeah, it was actually successful. It was
really?
Successful. We came back.
Play zone too?
But this was kind of classic like rec league basketball. We came back, tied the game, and then kept the pressure on and fouled like dumbly.
Ah. So did you foul at the end of the shot clock?
And then Billy got an offensive foul.
What too. How much
Which is bullshit. Yeah. I was going up trying to draw the foul.
How much?
And they called the foul on me.
Billy,
so, yeah,
how many?
So it sounds like they got the call right because you just admitted you were going up for the sole
purpose
of drawing a foul.
Billy, what? So you pressed successfully. Then how much time was left in the shot clock when you fouled?
There's no shot clock.
Okay. There's none? Why don't you just play four corners when you're up?
Well, we were tied.
We're not really capable of doing that.
Okay.
But we tied the game up. We should have just gone, you know, laid off the press.
Yeah.
We
just got to stop.
We just figured out our zone offense.
Nice, nice.
Yeah.
What, you just put someone, you put a big guy at the foul line?
Yeah, and then I run the baseline.
Yeah.
It's fun.
Yeah,
that's high level stuff.
You just figured it out. Yeah. That's pretty easy zone beater.
Yeah, I know, but we reached the point where it was like people.
We
got to
do something
again.
Here. Yeah, we
got
to. We actually have to pass to the guy standing at the foul line to get some people open in the zone. I like it. All right, Jake.
Yeah, so last night I was at 7-Eleven getting Powerball tickets at $1.5
billion. Yeah.
Whoa.
And the guy asked if I was 18.
Oh, really?
That's good.
Yeah,
but
dude.
Like,
no, it's good. You look
I
young.
I feel like for 21 it's good, but 18 is different.
There's a point in your 20s that you reach where it becomes cool.
Yeah.
To get, like, so right now if you get carded for anything, it's kind of inconvenient.
Carded for 21, though, is
At some point,
carded
it
becomes
a compliment.
Is
yeah.
Crazy.
That's true. Did you win? If you win, what are you going to do? Will you give us some?
Yeah.
Okay, thank you.
Buy the Commanders?
Yeah, buy the Commanders.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, well, is that even enough?
Yeah. What is it? $1.5 billion
Yeah. No. Well, tax.
Not even.
Yeah.
So when Snyder bought the team, I think he only had like $350 million of the $700 million that he needed, and he financed the rest. You can just borrow the rest.
Yeah, we can borrow the rest.
Yeah, it's fair.
IOU.
Yeah.
We'll just. You know what? We'll just give an IOU. Be like, we'll win. We'll win this again. We'll win the the Powerball.
We have a system.
Don't worry. Yeah.
Make a match.
Yeah. Right. Exactly.
Match the $700 million
Yeah.
Post tax.
Okay, numbers.
17.
69.
I'm so in his head. I wasn't even planning on saying
put
it.
That back.
I wasn't even planning on saying it.
Mouse. I'm going to take
18.
Everyone have a great weekend.
92.
Good luck to the Phils, 20. The Fightins. What was your number, Hank?
17.
I'll go 16. What's your?
92.
92, max 20. 18 and 69. Oh. Hank, have you ever gotten this?
Nope.
Have you, though?
Nope.
You've never even, like, have you ever come in off air and just tested it?
No.
Did you see someone actually gave you the key to the next number and you didn't listen to them? 70.
Oh, one off. Shit.
You got a 70. You got a digit.
You got a digit. Did you see someone told you that? A guy on Hank's stream said, Hank, whatever Roquan Smith picks as his number for the Ravens will be the next number. He picked 18. Oh, man. And Hank, like, read it out loud, so he internalized it. So someone gave you the answer, and you still can't get it.
I didn't even know that.
Fifth time.
I do remember reading it now, though.
Yeah.
Love you guys.
Angus Barbieri once fasted for 382 days, surviving only on vitamins and water, and lost 250 pounds. And lived another 30 years.
You've been turning these animal facts into human facts.
Humans are animals.
Yeah, I know. Just, it's
but like,
creepy.
Isn't this crazy? This guy literally used all, he was morbidly obese, and he used all of his fat to survive for a year.
Yeah, that's wild.
And survived.
Love you guys.
I'm talking away. No, I don't know what I'm to say. I'll say it anyway. Today is another day to find you. Shining away. I'll be coming for your love again. Needless to say, I won't send in, but I'll be stumbling away. Slowly learning that life is okay. Say after me, it's no better to be safe than sorry. Say after me, it's no better to be safe than sorry. Hey.
Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.
The living room is where you make life's most beautiful memories. But your sofa shouldn't be the one remembering them. The new life-resistant, high-performance furniture collection from Ashley is designed to withstand all the spills, slip-ups, and muddy paws that come with the best parts of life. Ashley high-performance sofas and recliners are soft, on-trend, and easy to clean. Shop the high-performance furniture in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.